Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time. We have the people.
This is Eric from Moana.
This is Priscilla Lima.
This is Tim Jensen with Pepperdine Volleyball.
The story in real time.
I can't argue that we're the best team in the world.
I'm not retiring, people.
You're listening to The Net Line with Barney.
If everyone was doing a great job, then everyone would win the championship every year.
Peter.
It's not kittens and candles all the time, guys.
Reed.
Where's Pretty? You promised me he'd be on the show today.
And DJ Rouché.
The baddest DJ in the land.
It's The Net Live right now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is The Net Live right now. Welcome back to our normal time. I'm Kevin Barnett sitting in studio, the home court, with Chris Dieter McGee and DJ Jeremy Rouché. Reed Pretty off today, not certain of his location. Maybe he's been taken to an undisclosed location. He's at practice, says that he's listening in, though. So, Dieter, remember that. The boss is listening in.
Oh.
Watch your P's and Q's.
Big brother's always watching.
That's right. Hey, a lot to cover on the show today. All kinds of stuff going on in the world of volleyball. FIVB Quebec. Men and women happening. It was an interesting event up there with a lot of domination going on. One side of the United States dominating, the other side Brazil dominating.
If you're a USA beach volleyball fan, it was a big day yesterday. There was NVL, there was the Cuervo inaugural tournament in Milwaukee, and of course the FIVB doing so well on the men's side in Canada. I mean, that's a big day.
So Dieter was out at the Cuervo event in Milwaukee.
I was.
Jeremy was out at the NVL here in Malibu, so we'll have good reporting going on from those two events. The men were playing a test event in London. This is the U.S. men's national team. They took sort of a younger group out there to London and tested out the venue. They test out the protocol. They do this a year out before the Olympic Games just to make sure everything is running correctly. And they had a good event there. We'll talk a little bit about that. Also, we have still stuff coming up. The women's national team getting ready for Grand Prix. They were scrimmaging this past week. They had a scrimmage back on Friday night. And I think they have another scrimmage coming up this Friday night. Look up the date before the show's over here. And I'm expecting to be in-house for that. Going to be down in practice talking to Hugh McCutcheon, getting ready for the Grand Prix broadcast coming up in August. So look for that. We talked last week about their schedule. It's an all-Asian event. Nothing in the U.S., unfortunately. So unlike World League, you don't get a chance to see them play. But you will get a chance to watch them on television.
Bad news for you, kind of, is that Jeremy and I are in full beach mode for the next 6 weeks.
Could be a rough show for me.
I mean, beach is kind of getting going a little bit, Jay Rouché.
Full panic by Kevin.
He's in
right
a full panic. He wants to talk about scrimmages with the national team. He perks up like a little girl on Christmas morning, but he knows now that the beach is kind of kicking in high gear here.
Hey, at least it's
which
not
means
juniors.
Good numbers for our show.
At least it's not juniors.
I've got some juniors takes for you deep down inside that I would love to get out there.
Where are your gold medals? How come you haven't brought them to the show?
Thank you for mentioning that, Jeremy.
Yeah.
It was great to win two back-to-back gold.
All right, enough. Moving on to things of greater importance. We have something new for everybody out there. Happened this past week. Finally arrived in a few boxes.
Oh.
The Net Live t-shirts are real.
They're real.
They're real. We have them. They're awesome. I wore it all weekend, much to the chagrin of my family and friends.
I don't have one yet.
That's because you didn't tell Jeremy the appropriate size, and he could not bring it.
I would love
from
to
the
try both sizes.
Warehouse.
I told you this. I want to see which one fits better.
How about I meet you on your vacation, and now we can size you.
Listen, I told Kevin this. I am going on vacation. It's my wife's birthday today. We are leaving from this show, and I'm not telling Kevin anything about where I'm going. He can't call me. He can't email me. He can't text me, tweet me. Nothing, Kevin.
You don't think I already have your room number? I mean, I'm on top of this. Hey, so we have these NetLive t-shirts. They're great t-shirts provided by Hurley. Big thanks to Hurley for getting them out to us. Premium quality. I wore them. They're so comfortable. They're really, really nice. Cotton t-shirts. We're not talking like some crappy beefy tee with the huge heavy silk screen on it that's going to crack the second time you wash the shirt. We're talking this is nice printing on the front, the Net Live podcast. It's going to look cool. You're going to feel good. And the shirt is just a nice high quality shirt. Now, this is an NPR style fund drive. So basically, with your donation,
it's true.
With
it's
your
true.
Donation to our show, Your donation of $25 plus shipping and handling to our show, we will send you a NetLive t-shirt. These can be ordered at Vala Entertainment?
Nope.
No, Vala Clothing.
ValaClothing.com. There's a link on the side that says the NetLive. Pretty simple. You know, one's already been shipped to Germany.
Germany, I like that.
Yeah.
We're a worldwide show. We've talked about it.
No doubt.
From SoCal to Siberia. That's somewhere between.
I wore my NVL shirts, NVL, NetLive shirts at the NVL this weekend, both the gray and the blue.
Nice.
Got lots of compliments. Saw a lot of people. A lot of people like my contribution to the show, Chris. I just going to throw that out there.
Jeremy, it's not even a question. That's why I hired you.
Wait a minute. You said full beach mode, not full self-booyah mode from both of you.
Jay
right
Roshek, put on our message boards.
Yeah.
The info. So
okay.
I will have it and see it in front of them.
Sorry about my phone.
Okay,
ringing.
We're going to sell huge in Canada.
We have these shirts. They're fun. They're great. When you get them, you'll feel like you got a good product. And that was what our goal was with the show, is to have a good quality product out there for you.
And by the way, the last show we had at Reed's, big success, got great feedback. Next day, because I had a little booze with you kids, so the wife drove us straight home, left my car at Jeremy's because we carpooled down to Reed's, got another parking ticket. That is amazing what happens when I come to this show. I am literally down 475 in the past year and a half for the show.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's amazing.
I can't believe the power of
really
this program.
Bad.
Yeah.
I felt bad.
Hey, thanks for the heads up, by the way. Maybe a text in the morning.
Hey, buddy, I had things I had to do. I didn't realize you left your car at my house overnight.
We have a couple of great guests coming on. Jenny Kropp. Going to be on the show today.
Jenny Kropp.
And Adam Roberts.
A-Rob won a tournament, the NVL.
The NVL victor. And
so Jeremy will break down the NVL. I'm going to break down Milwaukee. I'd like Cam Kerr to call in a little later. He was there and tweeting and carried us all for those FIVB updates. I mean, he was on the money with my updates to the crowd for the Phil Todd, Furby Lucena match and the Rosie Gibb match. So very, very stoked on that. Kill on 2, by the way. Was his Twitter account. So it was strong. It was interesting, Barney. The volleyball community with the three events going on and really no way to find out what was going on. The FIVB website was okay. BVB Info didn't have NVL, didn't have Milwaukee. It was insane. So we were all kind of tweeting and texting each other updates of what was going on. So because I know where I was, the players were interested in what was going on in Canada and in Malibu, and the same with you.
I tweeted more yesterday than I may have had all my tweets combined.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your buddy Goose called me out on Twitter.
He did?
What's up with the updates, guy? I was like, oh, my bad.
That's great.
Tim Jensen from Pepperdine. Goose.
Yeah. Heard you pitched him the other day.
I did. We'll see if it's successful.
Okay. We'll talk about it more on the show and when there's some success coming your way.
Yeah. Yeah, doing a mobile app business. Yeah. So anyone out there looking for a small to medium-sized business mobile application, talk to me.
I like the self-promoting show we have going on so far.
It's very nice.
I'm just dying to
talk about me and my weekend, but we're not getting there yet.
Let's.
You
want to
start with the NBA?
I want to start with
Milwaukee.
I want to start with Milwaukee because I saw a picture.
Yeah.
And it looks professional. We have wondered about IMG and USAV, and they announced tournaments, but they didn't announce tournaments, and they canceled tournaments they never announced, and we had all this back and forth. We had James Lights on. I loved him. We had Dave Williams on a couple of times. He's had good things to say about a variety of different topics.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really interested to know how that tournament went. I know there was a lot of discourse about who was in that tournament, because this was a selection tournament, only eight teams.
Eight teams, four women, four men.
And so they went to that thing, and you just wondered how it was going to be. The picture I saw, it looks awesome.
Yeah, I tweeted that photo. I took it from up top at Bradford Beach in Milwaukee. First of all, I didn't know much about the city. Phenomenal city. And I know you grew up in Chicago. It's got a little bit of that.
I've got relatives in Milwaukee and been up there quite a bit.
Got a little bit of that feel, obviously, right on the lake. We had beautiful weather. And Bradford Beach, and I mentioned him last year, and he's called a couple times. A guy named Todd Goronsky has kind of reinvented Bradford Beach, and he runs tons of leagues and tournaments. They have over 600 teams every single summer playing there. So there's a huge volleyball community. Now, the AVP went there from 87 to 98 when Miller Lite was running the tour. It was a huge event, and then they stopped going. So this year, Dave and IMG, and they get together with Cuervo, and they want to do a kickoff event where they just get four teams and kind of get up and running before Manhattan, which is the big one that they're going to
sort of a test event. Like the mentoring,
And so they called Todd, and the guy absolutely delivered. Great guy. He's got a great staff. And he's just one of those guys, and I've mentioned it before, you know, Kevin, when you go on the road and you go to some of these places, the grassroots kind of guys, you know, Scott Vanderwerp, who calls our show from Muskegon, Michigan, in Grand Haven, those guys really care about our sport, and they've been involved in the sport, and they run great tournaments, great leagues. And I'm telling you, in the Midwest, beach volleyball is thriving. And people are playing, I mean, Barney, 25 courts up and down the beach. And what was cool about this event was amateurs going on the outside courts, pros inside. And it was just filled. And, you know, the same thing happened in Siesta Key when we did that Corona event. You know, there's 50, 75 courts, and people are playing up and down the beach. So it was really cool. So to see Todd run that event was awesome. And the way they, and, you know, when I showed up, I was shocked. I got to be honest with you. I mean, IMG, real deal. Incredible performance. I mean,
well, they don't mess around. You're talking about a global setup. Sports entity that controls so many different things,
yeah.
And tennis and golf.
Exactly.
And talk about the world championships of surfing. Yeah.
So I was really impressed because, you know, Dave Culpepper, Frank Stanley, you know, the old crew guys from the AVP were the crew guys for this, Barney. So they set up everything, and I show up, and it just looks perfect. You know, stadium probably seats, whatever, 2,000, filled up both days, and on the finals, overflowing. You know, plus people could stand above and watch down. It was just a really cool feel. And they did a really nice job. And I was very impressed. I think the players were stoked. You know, John and Sean had come from Quebec where they said they got treated awesome. And they said it was a first-class event. And I don't know if they knew what to expect when they came. But IMG staff, they pick you up in a nice car. They're bringing you to the airport. You got a ride everywhere. You're set up everywhere. Your meals. And it was really first-class and organized, and I think that was really nice for the players, not knowing how this USAV event and the Cuervo event would go. Every player, Jenny, Annette, everyone who played was elated. So that was a good feeling. Then we had a great final. The women's final, a young woman named Sheila Shaw, who was an All-American at Wisconsin, played overseas, just started playing a few months ago. Gosh, she's a real deal. 6'3". Can ball. She won with a young woman named Catherine Babcock. So they were a local team. So they had the crowd just raging behind them. They played against Jess Geisen and Crystal Engel, you know, formerly Crystal Morrison, who, by the way, are getting really, really good, playing great, and a lot of fun to watch. So great final there. And then the men's final, you had Wong Olsen versus Sean and John. It goes 17-15 in the third.
Sweet.
Yeah. So, it kind of had everything. It had good weather. It had a crowd that was partying. You can drink Cuervo on the beach. Everyone's having a great time. There's breakdance contest going out between gals, between games. You know, so it's fun stuff like that.
Did you break out the worm?
No, I didn't, because this one woman came out and absolutely dominated on the backwards worm, and I let her have her day. She would have taken me down. I had nothing in me. I would have pulled a hammy. So I was getting tweets like, when are you doing it? When are you doing it? And I just said, London.
Are they dragging out their own cardboard?
No, they're just on the sand, but it was great, having a great time. So I have to say, going to the event, I was not sure what to expect.
Yeah.
I walked away feeling really good. We shot all the stand-ups for our first show. You know, we're going to have a show. It airs August 19th, Friday nights, and it's going to be 7 consecutive Fridays. We don't have a name yet, so we're kind of searching. Cash reward, looking for a name.
The Geeter Show?
Yeah, that's what I wanted, but I think it's going to get shut down. So it'll be a half-hour magazine-style show like Dig, like we used to do on Fox. So a lot of good came out. It'll be on Versus.
Okay.
So that's national. And from here on out, the events are going to be televised. You know, they're going to be live in Manhattan Beach. They got 2 hours live on Versus. Marlo will be doing the call, and I believe Dane's at that one. So it's, you know, I feel like they delivered. You know, the guys in Milwaukee were incredible. Todd and his crew, and then James Lights from IMG, who's been on our show. And then you got to give Dave Williams a lot of credit, and USAV BJ Evans, who's a big, you know, follower of our show. And they were organized. They had great attitudes. They had the right people there. Matt Gage, tournament directing. Impressive. You see Gage, you just know it's going to be run the right way. So
yeah,
a lot of good came out of it. Using the Spalding ball, which I know, you know, Albert had talked about. Mm-hmm. Albert's using
going
the Wilson
back.
Ball. So it was, you know, I know Billy Berger brokered that deal. And you know, so there's a lot going on in the sport right now.
This is the
which
only
comes from
way.
Controversy, of course, as well, because you know, Long Beach and Hermosa are the same weekends, and I know there's going to be some stuff that's got to get worked out. But I know from what Dave and James are telling me, you know, they want there to be a couple of outlets for these guys to play, and I know everyone wants to get on the same page and work together, so there's more opportunities for these players.
This is the only way, in my mind, that USAV is going to win over the beach crowd. There's been all this argument about how much support they've gotten, the beach crowd has gotten from USAV, and the way they've behaved and this and that. It comes back to my time on the national team when we felt really bad about USAV and how they weren't treating us right, weren't taking care of business, weren't getting things done. The only way to change that attitude is to consistently deliver quality product. And I feel like on the national team for the last 8 years or so, they've done that. Things have gone the right direction, increased support for athletes, better training situations, more organized uniform efforts and traveling efforts and that kind of stuff. And there's always still problems because players complain, but there's always still stuff you want to be better. But certainly it's going the right direction. And this sounds like on the beach side of things that this is a step in that direction if USAB sure. can continue to deliver this type of event
yeah.
in this way, treat the players right, fill the stands, have it be fun, give it a professional feel and look as it did there in your photo. I think that that's what they have to do continually, and you will have so many fewer really big complaints because we've had some big complaints.
Yeah.
The small stuff is always going
to
beat it.
And you know what I walked away with, Kevin? You know, I've been to Seaside Heights and Siesta Key, and when I walked away from those, I said, you know what? That's a really cool vibe, and the volleyball's alive and well. There's a lot of people playing. And the games were high-level, fun finals. You know, I go to this Cuervo event, and I walk away going, God, there are some great young stars playing. And, yeah, you know, Phil and Todd aren't there. They represent the United States. Karen Misty represent the U.S. over there, Sor Jen in April. But there's some good players. And it was – it's when you're at the tournament, it's on. You're not worried about, oh, my God, Sheila Shaw's in the finals and not Kerry Walsh. Yeah, of course. I'm not going to lie to you. When it's Kerry Walsh and Misty playing, there's a little buzz around it. When Phil and Todd are playing. But I'll tell you, when you're in it and you're at the NVL and Adam Roberts gets his first victory ever, the guy's been playing forever with Brady Halverson, he's elated. He's out, you know, he's
and they deserve
a great
too.
Moment and
they
deserved
well.
It, man. So it's like who's ever at that tournament? You play it. Does Darren Clark not get the British Open title because Tiger's not playing? No, he's walking around with that Claire jug, and he's still guzzling points out of that. So, I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, when you're there and you're in the moment, I was stoked. I walked away really, really happy. And going in unsure, I think, as we all were, I walked away going, man, this is great. I was in a great mood, flew home, told the wife, hey, volleyball's going on. You know, I got Corona in a couple weeks. I got another USAV. I mean, it's good.
Hey, if you were at one of these events, want to tell us your opinion on how it
Absolutely.
Was, 347-677-1525. Let us know your opinion on what's been going on. You know, Geeter, you make a good point, and this goes to one of my thoughts about the qualification process in the Olympics and who's going to be in the Olympics and who's going to be here or there and oh, Misty and Kerry should be in or Phil and Todd have to be in or this or that.
Yeah.
You know what? Nobody has to be in.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. If you don't end up in the tournament, somebody else will fill that spot and will have another story to tell.
Yeah.
Maybe a Jess Geisen steps up. Maybe Todd and Sean and John would step up. Or whomever the other team is that qualifies, if you lose the top team or even the top two teams,
yeah.
whoever those other teams are that qualify, maybe they will rise to the occasion and maybe it will be great. But as you say, when you're at the tournament, you're not thinking about so-and-so is not here. And the same thing's true at the Olympic Games. You're not thinking about, oh, so-and-so's not here. You're thinking about, this is a great story. Let's see what people here are going to do.
You know, I remember in Chicago a few years ago, and Jeremy was there, and Kerry, Misty, and Jen and April had to go overseas. I'm not sure Phil and Todd did, but it was a big deal because it was a live NBC event, and NBC's, you know, freaking out, and
yeah.
Leonard's, everyone's kind of freaking out because, you know, they had to miss. And it's always before the tournament people talk about it, but we got to the tournament, actually Brooke Hansen and Angie Akers made the final against Jenny and Annette. And it was packed, and it was a beautiful day in Chicago, and there's just not a better place than Chicago on a summer day when it's nice, and the crowds were enormous, and it was a great final. Jenny and Annette won, and I remember walking away going, yeah, you know what? When you're in that final, you forget, who's ever in it is in it. The crowd did not care.
That came up this weekend at the NVO. It's like, yes, you want to see the top players in the world, but when the finals comes, you're excited because it's teams that haven't been in the finals before, and it's as exciting. You know, watching Phil and Todd win all the time, we've said before, is not as exciting.
Right.
You get new people in there. It's the finals. It's like somebody new is going to win.
Listen, those girls.
And the buzz
yeah.
is around. People are happy about it.
You're great. You know what, Jeremy? Sheila Shaw and Catherine Babcock held up an enormous Cuervo check to $12,000. Those two. I mean.
That's going to be framed above their bed for the rest of their
yeah,
life.
Yeah. I mean, I even asked them afterwards. I mean, they're like, we've never made any money. You know, I mean, so they're going to walk away going, wow. You know, that's a nice paycheck.
That's a good weekend.
It's a good weekend.
That'll work.
It's kind of like my paycheck.
No, obviously
weekend.
It's a shootout, so it's a four team tournament, Barney
right.
round robin style. You know, they're going to be different. You're going to have 32 team main draws,
right.
16 team. It's gonna you know fluctuate. But I know USAV's thinking that'd be nice to have seven of these next year, and a couple of them are shootouts, and some are main draws, and you add Coronas, NVLs, whatever's happening. I mean, there's going to be some opportunities for the Americans to play domestically, and that's the most important thing. is for them to have a home to be able to play, and that's why we're so relevant, and that's why we've had such a great impact internationally. Now, if they can all figure out how to have that FIVB component and USA work together, and I think everyone's going to work it out eventually, and I think it's going
to
be fine.
It's like the debt ceiling. They'll figure it out before everything goes to hell in a handbasket. I want to get back to the selection process of how those teams got in, some of the controversy there, Geeter. But first, Jeremy, so we had FIVB Quebec. We had Cuervo going on in Milwaukee. That sucked up most of the top talent in the world. You guys were at NVL.
Yep, Malibu.
Here in Malibu.
That was the unfortunate thing. I mean, there is an unfortunate lining in all this, right? And it's that they're all going on the same weekend.
All three in the same weekend. I mean, so tell us about how the vibe at that event.
The vibe was great. The weather was unbelievable, first of all. And I was just happy to be back on the beach playing music for a pro beach volleyball event. I missed it. Didn't realize how much I missed it till I got there.
Yeah.
Crowd was great. It was like it was a very homey feeling because there's no stadium, there's no big bleachers. Everybody's walking around. Like I walked around for a little bit just to check out all the course. They had live streaming, and even though the talent was spread thin throughout the world this weekend, I mean the high level of volleyball at the NVL was good. Like I couldn't have won any matches, so that means I know it was good.
Yeah, when you're gonna go over, Jeremy?
Yeah, I mean I would have looked good out there.
How late did it go yesterday?
Yesterday, we were out by 5 o'clock, I think. Mm-hmm. Both the finals started a little early, which I've never been used to.
Yeah, ours were on time. It was shocking.
Yeah.
How was the response from, like, I don't know how the powers that be for you guys. Yeah. I don't know who it was for NVL, but, like, the Cuervo people and IMG people were really happy, and the Cuervo people were elated to be back in volleyball. I think that's a good sign.
Yeah.
For us, I don't know.
I'm fortunate. Like, I can walk around and listen to people talk. Some people know who I am. Some people don't. And I'll talk to some sponsors, and they were all happy. They loved the way it looked. The event site looked great. EFX was pleased. The one group who was going to hire me at some point, I'm just throwing that out there, for their hotels and stuff. They were pleased. Like, the food was great. I mean, it was a great atmosphere. Players were all happy. They were all taken care of. They felt like they were professionals. I mean, it was a fun tournament.
Yeah, just the unfortunate thing, as we had said, is there's, you know, we had to battle with this with the AVP all the time. There's an FIVB going on, and now there was a Cuervo and an NVL. So it's just, it's kind of the way it's going
to
be right now.
And at least there are places for people to play.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was always my thought.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So the thing we take out of the weekend, then, that volleyball is healthy in a lot of different places and potentially in a lot of different formats, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you and I have talked, Kevin, we've talked off air and we've talked on air about it. You kind of wonder who's gonna come out on top. You kind of wonder how they'll all coexist. I think what's going to be interesting, Barney and J-Ro, is that this next off season, how they really do get together and map out their summer. I know that was some of the frustrations with Albert because he had his schedule set. You know, Steve and Billy had their schedule set. USAV signed Cuervo late and had this kind of scramble. And you know, they had the Manhattan Open, and that was what they had. You know, and now they added the Milwaukee and a couple others. So it's, how are they all going to work this out, and who's going to kind of be top dog? I think that's what people were asking me all weekend, you know, players and stuff like that.
Co-opetition. That's what it's going to be, co-opetition. And it's somebody's going to lose. I've said on the show, I think it's going to be the national governing body that wins. I think they had a good showing this weekend. Not taking anything away from Albert and his efforts. I just think that the national governing body is the one group that isn't solely motivated by profit.
And, you know,
or doesn't have a extreme need for profit.
It's weird, Barney. How do you not, and J-Ro, you're probably in the same boat, how do you not pull for any of them, too? It's like, you know, Billy and Steve have done a nice job of building their brand, and you like the niche that they have. And then Albert's been a friend for over 20 years, and he put his ass on the line. And he's creating an opportunity for people to play. And then you have, you know, USA Volleyball, who you want to succeed.
Who was kind of slow in getting things going.
Yeah, but you want to
kind of arrive late, but
I mean, on a personal,
got all their ducks in a row.
On a personal level, I mean, I'm excited to see what happens, but at the same time, I don't, you know, as you said, you feel like someone might slide off, and I don't want to see that happen because you don't want anybody to not make it work because people are putting the butts on the line, money and effort and a lot of time.
See, I think Corona's still going to be around because I think that's a D-League effort. I think that's a – and not to dismiss it, but I think that's sort of a developmental opportunity and a fun thing, lifestyle thing. It's more of an event rather than just professional volleyball.
Gotcha. I agree with you 100%, my friend. Kind of good. Is that Danny? Is Danny back on the message boards with his Achilles?
He's around. I've seen him.
I think it's silly to think USAV isn't deliberately strangling other events. He can't wait to call in. I guarantee that. His boss won't let him.
Dan?
Yeah.
Well, he's a tough driver over there. Hey, let's spin up to break here, Jeremy, real quick. I know we have Cam Kerr waiting on the line. He's going to tell us about FIVB Quebec on the other side of the break here. Perfect. We also have a couple of other good features coming up. We're going to talk to Adam Roberts. We're going to talk to Jenny Kropp. Should be some good conversations and a lot of other discussion about volleyball. Interesting article brought to our attention about volleyball and its popularity in the United States as far as participation, but not as far as the business goes.
Hey, Kevin. Nice first 25 minutes. Nice job, buddy. Hey. It's the way to show up and play hard. Good job.
By the way, most Jeremy's ever talked spoke on this show. Yeah. I told you, it's heating up.
He's carrying a microphone.
And I'm dead tired right now, in case you're wondering.
And a little note to the past here. Amy Winehouse.
Yep.
Not the way. Right back. In the net live here on the volleyballnetwork.com. Thanks for listening live if you're doing so, and thanks for listening to podcast if you're hitting that. Remember, it is available free in iTunes. Just search the net live or volleyball and look under podcasts. You will find this program and a couple of years worth of archives if you want to go back and listen to what it was like before we added DJ Roche and Chris Geeter McGee. You can tell us if it was better or worse.
What was that like, Kevin?
You cannot look us in the eye and say the show was better without us. I'm not trying to pat us on the back.
Okay.
Let's let the listeners.
Not when it was Reed and I and Dan. Certainly not. But when it was just me, yeah, maybe.
We could get up and walk away right now, but for some reason we won't. We won't do it.
When
started, we don't have a sack to do it.
When he started, was it just him and his wife sitting on the couch listening to him? Is that what it was?
No, nobody even listened. Imagine? It was just me listening to me. That was the whole thing. Hey, if you want to be on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thenetlive, another way to communicate with us. We wanted to note on the show today a sad passing in the world of volleyball. Eastern Oregon University's head coach, Haley Pierce, young coach, was killed in a motor vehicle accident back on July 19th.
This is tragic news.
Yeah, really, really sad situation. This is a woman who had been an assistant coach at Rocky Mountain College in Billings, Montana, at her alma mater, and then had moved on to Eastern Oregon and really had a bright future in front of her. And so our heartfelt thoughts go out to her and her family and remaining friends. But a sad thing for Eastern Oregon. So moving on from that, get back to FIVB because I really love talking Beach.
And I know Adam is on the line too, so we'll go to Cam first, and then A-Rob hopefully hold on and talk to him.
Yeah, we're going to continue talking Beach. So now this is a gentleman, Cam Kerr, who's a loyal listener to our program and now has his own program, his own version of the NetLock that he's producing up there in Canada. But we love it that he still calls it the Art Show. Cam, give us the story from this weekend.
This whole week was unbelievable. It was such a great event, and I'm just still blown away. I'm sitting in the hotel room waiting for my flight. I know I called you guys last week and didn't know too much, but my God, Quebec is an event, and let me say that it is here to stay, and you guys need to be here next year.
I love that idea. Cam, I got to tell you from the player's perspective, Jeremy had mentioned it earlier. He had gotten a lot of tweets, but I had talked to John and Sean personally. You know, they showed up and won the Milwaukee event coming straight from your event, and they said it was put on so well. The players were taken care of, and they raved about how great the event was. And I know Casey Patterson had tweeted the same thing. So congrats on that. You know, you guys definitely delivered.
Yeah, no, definitely. When the morning paper came out and, you know, Phil is quoted in the paper saying that this event was 100 times better than the Grand Slam in Moscow, I thought at first it might be a little bit of pandering, but every player who I talked to was saying the exact same thing. They were taken care of unbelievably, and it was just a fantastic event. And it was the best first event, because this is the first event, mind you, that they've ever seen.
You know, Cam, I was saying this earlier on the show, and I don't know if you were listening yet, but I wanted to get your take, because you called us last week and you talked about some of the top teams not coming. You know, Phil and Todd were there, but you know, it happened on the AVP tour, and it's going to happen on all the domestic tours now. Is, you know, sometimes you're just not going to have the number one teams there. You know, maybe they're overseas, maybe they're doing this, maybe they're doing that. But when you get to the actual event, and you're watching Phil and Todd play Furby in the finals, or you're watching the Brazilian women, it doesn't matter when you're at that event. Did you feel that same way? Did the people there get as involved as they would if it was Carrie and Misty?
Oh, absolutely. We felt definitely the same way. You know, like before the event, it was, oh, man, Juliana, Larissa aren't here, Misty and Carrie aren't here. On the men's side, you know, some of the Brazilians weren't here as well, with Manuel and Alisson. So it was, you know, we felt that way going in, but once things got started, it was like we forgot about those guys. And it was, you were just focused on the games. The high-level games were just happening all around you, and it was fantastic.
You know, how about that new Brazilian team? Kid is off the charts from what I hear.
He is 20 years old. He got a silver last year at Junior Worlds, silver actually too, some Canadian boys, Sam Schachter and Garrett May. But he is, you know, like, he's going to be around for a while, and he's got a good arm.
Is that Alvaro? Is that his name?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Santos and Alvaro, they played in the bronze medal match, and they lost to Gibb and Rosie. But, you know, they played great. Like, those scores were fantastic, and they had a great tournament. And this was their first tournament playing together.
You just mentioned Gibb and Rosie. Talk about, obviously, you know, everyone listening right here, most of the people really excited to talk about the Americans. I know when I had mentioned it in Milwaukee, I was literally getting your tweets and reading it verbatim, basically, to the crowd, and you know, huge applauses, and people were really excited. I think for us in the USA men, you know, I think it was the first time we had three teams in a Final Four since 1991, and then to sweep the podium. What was that like being there? What were the guys' reactions? What was their look when they were on top of the podium? Can you take us through that, Cam?
It was fantastic. You know, I think I was a little bit more excited for the bronze medal match, just to see if the U.S. could clinch that podium. But it was fantastic to watch. It was a great atmosphere. Everyone was so accepting of, like, you know, we spoke with some of the U.S. players, and they said, you know, when they're on tour, not a lot of people, you know, like the Americans. But, you know, being up in Canada, it was just fantastic. They had everyone was so welcoming, and it was great to be so accepted on an international tour event.
Yeah. Well, how was the final? Furby and Nick and Phil and Todd, I mean, your scores to me, I think, were 23-21, 21-19. So, obviously, they're right there.
It was really close. And, you know, I was kind of rooting for Ferbs and Nick, but, you know, Phil and Todd are Phil and Todd. They came out in the end, and they came through. But it was a great game, and, like, both teams played really well. And I'm excited to see all three American teams back next year.
Yeah, so how were the crowds?
Crowds were fantastic. The center court pulled about 3,000 people, and then they had a VIP section with another 500 people. And an interesting thing about the VIP section is that, you know, these were booths and boxes, that were about $5,000 each for the entire week, and they had every single VIP section sold out in April.
Gotcha. Well, that's fantastic, man. So you're definitely, you guys are definitely getting one again, and it's just going to keep getting better, I'd imagine.
I hope so. You know, this was a great event. Like I said before, it was the first event. So I think they're already confirmed for next year and hopefully for many more years after that.
Good, man. How's your show going?
The show's going great. You know, we're just trying to get things started here. We're probably going to be doing a little Quebec wrap-up show when we land in Toronto. I'm just waiting in the hotel right now. We got a flight in a couple hours, but we have a lot of video interviews with a lot of the players up on site on my site right now.
Awesome.
Nice.
KillOn2.com, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Going on about episode 19 right now, right?
Yeah. It's you know, we have a little bit more of a Canadian focus to kind of promote our Canadian indoor and beach teams a little bit, but you know, we reach out where we can.
And you guys have a little more of a Canadian accent than we have, too.
That's true. And I got to admit, one of the best parts of this weekend was hearing the French announcers refer to Todd as Le Professeur.
Oh, my God. That's that warms my heart.
Can I get that on recording? I
mean, that warms my heart.
I'll get that for you, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Hey, don't be afraid to sell some Net Live shirts for us out there. But let's get, you know, we got a nice Canadian following.
Oh, absolutely. I'll be wearing one.
Sweet. Thanks, Cam.
Thanks,
appreciate
Cam.
The call.
Great
Thanks,
call, man.
Guys. Take care. Right.
Cam Kerr.
See, that's what I was talking about with the same kind of thing with Todd Goransky in Milwaukee. Just how proud Cam is of their event and how it delivered. And as you said, I mean, for a first-time event, for every player to walk away thinking that it was a first-class event, that's when you know you hit a home run, and that's when you know it was successful.
Well, I'm glad he talked about the Canadians supporting the U.S. I was curious what their reaction would be to us sweeping.
They might be the only other country that would support the U.S.
Yeah.
Every other country you play, the U.S. gets booed down.
I bet those guys are like, wow, we're getting some cheers.
Yeah. It's remarkable. If you have five or six people around you, if you're in a foreign country and they know you're American, they want to know all about you. If you have 100, they want to boo you down. Same people.
It's awesome.
It's craziness. It's just lunacy.
Should we bring in our next guest?
Yeah, speaking of first time.
Let's put first time. Lost his virginity yesterday in Malibu. Jay Rowe's going
to
put on
some
beats.
I think that's happened to some other people
here
in Malibu.
It's been fantastic. Let me tell you about this young man, by the way. So A-Rob, he grew up Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Kid's a dancer, man. Kid's got style. I believe his parents owned a dance school there. I mean, he's like the mayor of Myrtle Beach. They own property, and like Phil and Todd and tons of guys, Nick Lucena, Billy Strickland, guys that have come through and played the game. It's like a rite of passage. It's like being baptized. You get to spend a week in Myrtle Beach, and all you do is play with all the homies, and everyone goes there, and you stay at A-Rob's, and you have a party, and you have a great time. So A-Rob's one of the most well-liked guys in our game. He's just one of those guys that, man, he's just professional. He's a good player, comes back every year, supports the tours. So, you know, A-Rob, for him to get a win yesterday, Jeremy, that's the one thing I was really bummed about, that I didn't get to see it. I would have loved to give him a hug. I always love seeing people win for the first time. And he teamed up with Brady Halverson, Billy Allen's old partner.
You're giving him a verbal hug right now.
Hug right now. Brady and him capturing the title. So congratulations. Let's bring him on the Net Live for the first time. A-Rob, what's up, my brother?
Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing well. You're on with Jay Roche. We got Barnett. Reed is not here today, but we're real excited for you, A-Rob. I know you and Jesse like to roll around that Staples Center, you know, during the finals, and you guys are leaguing it, and you look so fantastic. Was this a better feeling than when the Lakers beat Boston for you?
This was a better feeling, yeah. Yeah, this was pretty personal for us, and it was just kind of we blacked out. I don't even know what happened. It was one of those
Jay Roche. Jay Roche said you kind of had that look on your face afterwards, like, wow, did that just happen?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing for us. You know, it was one of the first times they had ever been to Malibu. So we didn't really know the setting. We showed up there. It was kind of a crosswind. And, you know, Brady got on the roll, and I just kind of rode his back all the way to the finals. And, you know, we stepped up in the finals. It was really fun.
You know, Brady is one of those guys, Brady Halverson, for all the listeners out there. He teaches, I believe, at Redondo. Just a good, good dude. He actually went to Cal Poly Slow.
One of the most handsome men.
Great looking kid. His wife is very lucky, and so is he. He learned the sport at Cal Poly.
No, have you met his wife? Brady's lucky, actually.
And he came to the game and started playing, and he was, you know, Billy Allen, they had a great year maybe a few years back, 08, 09, and people were like, God, this guy's good. He's got a little Sean Scott in him, A-Rob, where he's not a huge guy, but a great technical blocker.
He is. Yeah, and he kind of took over. He really started. He started just blocking people, putting them in a box, and then you know they were having to shoot 20-foot high lines. It made my job really easy. But yeah, he was very excited. You know, Phil lived with me for a long time. He's one of my best friends, and he kind of took the win in stride, kind of like Phil would. He was just like, oh, well, that was cool, and kind of got in his car and left. But no, he was excited. But it was he's great. You know, as soon as school gets out, I mean, he's got a little extra pep in his step, and he's like, let's play some volleyball. You know, you can just kind of see it in his whole demeanor and everything, and he had a great tournament, and just kind of rode him the whole way there. So,
hey, Adam, you know, our message board is kind of a big thing on this show. You know, the people that listen live come on and talk a lot of smack, and I got to read you something. Probably the best thing we've heard all morning was Billy Allen just said Brady could drop a few pounds.
Brady is having a contest right now with Kevin McCullough, who has less body fat. And they started it about 3 weeks ago, and I think their check-in date is 3 weeks down the road. And Brady did come and stay with me for his first time ever. I guess he popped his cherry, as you would say, in Myrtle Beach. Him and his wife came. They had an absolute blast. But he was really hitting that southern food hard and a lot of sweet tea going on. So he said it was early on in his contest, and so he didn't know if that was, you know. I told him if both of their body fats went up, then they need to owe somebody else money. That's how that was going to work out. But
hey, Adam, who'd you guys play in the finals, and how did that go down? What were the scores? Can you tell us a little bit about the match?
Yeah, I can, actually. We ended up playing Joaquin Acosta and Ty Tremblay, which was kind of a bittersweet thing for me. They're one of my favorite guys out there. And Joaquin and I did our off-season training. We both had injuries this past off-season.
Yep.
He's had his for 3 years. And I had a torn labrum. I had about four different surgeons say that I had to have surgery. And, you know, I ended up getting up with Tom Vachet and Heather Seifert over here at physical therapy. And they basically nursed me back to health. And Joaquin was right there next to me the whole way. So we give those guys a lot of credit and everything. But for us to be in the finals against each other and been training, you know, 5 days a week and everything. And we had actually played them. It was the 8 versus the 9 seed. And, you know, this tournament was just kind of a quirky thing where the top 5 seeds lost in the second round. I've never seen anything like it. And kind of looked at the bracket and said, man, this is kind of a wide-open tournament. You know, I know Sean and, you know, Nick and a lot of those guys weren't there, but we just kind of capitalized. And it was a super tight match. It went three, and we won 16-14 in the third. And it was just, you know, it was kind of storybook for us. So.
You know, A-Rob, you've been playing the sport since when?
I've been playing since I was about 20. I started in college whenever I was playing basketball and just kind of used it as a cross-training sport. So 15 years now. And, this is one of my most memorable things ever in sports.
Hey, Rob Barnett here. Can you give us kind of the feel for the tournament?
Yeah. The feel that they have is that, you know, they've done a good job with it. And they kind of do incorporation with another event. And so this one was, I believe up the street a little bit, they had the Surf Festival. So we were getting a touch of the crowd from that. And it's kind of got an old school throwback feel. Hey, throw your towel down and your blanket down and just come out to the beach and have a good time with it. But, you know, he's done a good job of getting it out there. And, you know, I know a lot of people don't know about it. A lot of guys that should know about it, maybe guys who played AVP 5 years ago are like, hey, what is the Pro Tour now? And Albert's doing a really good job, and he's working hard to get it out there. I mean, he wants his tweeting and Facebooking and, you know, all these different aspects of it. And, I mean, his website's pristine, if you ask me. He's done a really good job, but he's working hard.
Yeah, we talked a lot about how professional the players felt that Cuervo was and how well they felt Quebec went from the player's standpoint. How was this tournament from a player's standpoint, services and scheduling and information?
It was good. It was good. I mean, you can tell they're early on their stages, so, you know, they're still working with that. But, you know, to have the rest and still have our players area and, you know, the massage people and everything like that get work done on it, it's nice. But it's a smaller, more intimate feel. You know, we don't have the this tour doesn't have the major grandstands and doesn't have, you know, quite the glimmer and glam quite yet, but and I don't know what his exact goal is with it, but it's very well ran, and it's nice to have all that. And we'll, you know, starting early on the season, January, February, March, and maybe my best off season ever, and I'm training my butt off and everything. Everybody's coming up to us and saying, "Hey, what are you training for?" And I said, "You know, I'm not fully sure yet. I just know that I think that volleyball is going to be, you know, it's going to prosper and it's going to do well, and there's going to be some kind of tour this year. So for Albert to come out and have this tour and then the Corona Wide Open people and the Cuervo people, you know, I knew something was going to happen, so I just knew I had to be ready. And we appreciate those guys working hard and getting everything set up for us.
Hey, Adam, you know, you're always known for the style, bud. Talk about your shorts. You're kind of blown up on the message board about it. You know, you've always kind of had that style. Talk about that, you know, when that started and what your thought is when you go into a tournament.
It did, yeah. It's ironically, my sister, she's from the Carolinas. She studies fashion design, and she ended up moving out here. She lived out here about 15 years, and she did wardrobe for that 70s show. And so whenever I first kind of started qualifying for these AVP events, she said, you know, here's some original 1978 OP board shorts that Ashton Kutcher wore off the show. She's like, throw me some of these. She's like, you know, you're not a screamer or yeller, and you're not flexing down or anything. She's like, just to be different while you're with it. I was like, sure. And so they kind of helped me be a little faster and quicker, and so I kind of stuck with them. And they've gotten a little bit longer through the years. I keep switching it up, and maybe I'll go back to the full-on 1978 OP ones. But, yeah, it's just been fun. The whole thing's been fun. And, you know, for me, I've been saying this for a few years, even if it all ends today, I've had a great run with it, and I've been lucky to travel the world and meet a lot of great people with it and not complaining.
Hey, is the final goal to get a tournament right there at Myrtle Beach?
It is. I think you and I have been trying to set that up more than anybody. We need to get.
I know.
We got to get that to happen. I know. I don't know if it's just because you want to come to Myrtle for the week, or I don't know what it is, but.
NVA,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, Myrtle
Lodge can be there.
Geeter just wants to travel for free. That's his entire goal with any of this.
I'm just trying to get the net live anywhere. You know what I mean? You bring our show out to Myrtle Beach, and I have a feeling it'd be a home run.
Yeah, I think it would be as well. Yeah, Myrtle Beach is a great spot, and I do love it. And I've been all over the world, and that's where I consider home. And we have a great situation there, and it's good. It's good people, and as Brady will tell you, it's good food. And so it's it's a good time there, and I like it. I love it out here as well, too, and California's a great spot, too.
Well, Adam, tell you what, buddy, from J-Row, myself, and Barney, and all the NetLive audience, so happy for you, man, to capture that first victory. I hear it's a wonderful club to be a part of, so congratulations, my friend.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, Rob, getting a victory with Brady Halverson in the boo. It's fantastic. 16-14, by the way.
It's a good final. Hey, like you
happy
said,
for him,
it
man.
Doesn't matter. It's just got to be
really
exciting wherever you are. Hey, much more to come here on the show. Jenny Kropp still upcoming. Talk about the popularity of volleyball. Talk about the U.S. men's indoor team in action in London. Got a little report on that. Reed Pitta will give you an update. To read some stuff from him. He is listening, Geeter. Remember,
Big Brother is watching and listening.
The Net Live here on the volleyballnetwork.com. We appreciate you tuning in. Be right back.
Volleyball Mag, the industry's number one volleyball magazine. Volleyball Magazine has been serving the volleyball community for over 20 years with the latest in volleyball news and information, product reviews, athlete profiles, fitness, health, and travel-related features. It's published 9 times a year. Volleyball Magazine brings you the inside to the access to sports' biggest stars. Whether you're interested in junior, collegiate, or professional level, sand or indoor, Volleyball Magazine has you covered both on and off the court. Visit us now. Do it. www.volleyballmag.com and subscribe for 1 year for only $19.99. Do that now and receive a new water bottle, a $49 value, free compliments of our friends at Naturally Energized Water Bottle Company. Volleyball Mag, the industry's number one volleyball magazine. Thank you.
live here on the volleyballnetwork.com. J-Row, now see your planet. Matt and Kim.
You know this group.
Now I know this group.
You don't know Stevie Wonder.
Right, but Matt and Kim.
Did you see Gardhoff tweeted that at the NBL? I was playing a Stevie Wonder track, and he kind of took a shot at you on Twitter. Pretty funny.
Here I thought it was all kittens and candles with Gardhoff. I didn't know he was going to bring out the knives.
You know, I looked over at one point, and he was doing push-ups in the sand with his daughter sitting on his back. Now, I don't know.
Well, he's CrossFitting. That's from CrossFit now. You know, we had CrossFit South Bay as a sponsor for a long time. He was over at CrossFit LAX. And
gotcha.
He's feeling fit.
Didn't know if he was doing that because she wanted him to, or if he was trying to get his exercise on, or what was going on.
Hey, you heard the advertisement for Volleyball Magazine partnership here on our program. We have upcoming, they're in the mail, magazines from the archives. We're going to be doing 35 years of Volleyball Magazine. We're going to be talking about different old magazines that are out there. The current issue got Phil and Todd on the front, looking strong.
Are they wearing their medals?
They are wearing, well, Phil is not wearing a medal, but Todd is. Did they give Phil one? Did he eat it?
He had one.
Maybe he lost it. But there's a lot of great articles in here talking about Phil and Todd, talking about fitness. They're starting to give you some good fitness tips, including great photographic coverage of the sport. But also a story about Stacy Sakura. And you guys may remember that Stacy Sakura was involved in a bus crash down in Brazil with her professional league team on the way to a playoff game. Bus crashes, something crushes Stacy in the head. She was sitting on somebody's lap and ends up hitting her head extremely hard. And I didn't realize how bad it was. And we reported here that she was in the hospital, that she was in a medically induced coma. But you never know how bad that really is. And she was in a coma for, I think it was 3 or 4 days. And now she's been back here in the States and doing rehab. But really an article that you ought to read about one of the great Olympians that we've had in the sport. She's been in the Olympics 3 times at that DS position. Really not only a great defensive player, but also one of those kind of emotional players that brings a lift to her teammates around her.
I don't think we had any idea here how serious it was.
No. Until I read this, I did not know how serious it was. And I've been back and forth with Stacy on some messages. We're hoping to get her next week.
That would be unbelievable.
You're on the program and you can hear from her. But in the meantime, get the August issue, August Volleyball Magazine, and read about Stacy's accident.
Is Kevin not going to mention my article from Volleyball Magazine?
We're getting there.
Oh,
but
okay.
Let me
just
finish
curious.
Up on what we're doing here.
Sorry, I thought you were done.
Because we also have former Minnesota coach.
Mike Hebert.
Mike Hebert coming on.
That's big, by the way. A phenomenal coach, been to the Final Fours, has Parkinson's disease, which I hold close to my heart because my mother has that. So I'm definitely interested to talk about it, but a great guy, great motivator, one of the legends of the game in the coaching community.
He's being succeeded by Hugh McCutcheon up there at Minnesota following the 2012 Olympics, but he has retired. He was honored at the World League event in Long Beach, presented him with an award. We'll talk to him about that. He lives in San Diego now, and so he will actually be on the program. He's confirmed for next week's show, so we at least have him, and later in the week I hope to confirm Stacy Sakura to be on. Should be a big program. Now, let's get back to self-booyah time.
Thank you.
Since we had that earlier. Also in the August 2011 issue is a article by DJ Roche. Oh, and Becky Twombly, I'm getting here. Becky Twombly.
Good food.
Former setter at Pepperdine?
Former setter at Pepperdine. Wonderful woman. She's a nutritionist
up
at UCLA. She's in charge up there, but she has some articles in here about different kinds of foods you should be eating. Not the Clif Bar you're eating or the Pop-Tarts I was eating earlier. None of those are listed here.
What's wrong with Clif Bar?
Under Becky Twombly's article. It has a lot of sugar. That's
I'm going to say the Clif Bar is better than the Pop-Tarts.
Well, I had to go get a Clif Bar because, I don't know if people know this, but during Cam Kerr's interview.
Don't tell Cam this.
I'm just saying.
Oh.
You had these two Pop-Tarts.
Uh-huh.
We were coming out of break. You brought them up. There I am asking Cam some questions, and you're just crushing these Pop-Tarts.
They smell delicious, too.
Yeah, and I thought he was going to, like, offer us a bite.
I offered
Jeremy. He offered me a bite.
He didn't want it. You were busy. You were hosting the show.
I said no, thank you. Back to me, please.
Some would say carrying the show.
All right. So
what Reed has to say about it.
Becky
boss.
Twombly on page 22. Back on page 20. DJ Roche's favorites, and you're looking kind of pensive here in your photo. I'm not sure. You have a hat just like my son has.
Volleyball Magazine has a lot of photos of me, so they have a lot to choose from.
You get your mixing table. You have a whole bunch of music here. Tupac, Tribe Called Quest. There you go. Very timely. Ben Harper. Buddy Guy, Daft Punk, Black Keys, Rage Against the Machine, Pearl Jam.
Some of my favorites of all time.
Nina Simone.
Oh, great.
Mm.
Just on the message board that the ABCA There's a NetLive article coming out about us.
Well, so, we'll definitely spend at least 20 minutes on that
for
next
sure.
program.
Seriously, if you give us an award or write an article about us, we will blow you up.
That's all you have to do. Just get into our wheelhouse that way. Hey, we had an article brought to our attention about the participation in volleyball. Participation in the sport of volleyball is very, very strong. Newsflash. So this was an article talking about the fall of some sports and the rise of other sports, talking about baseball in particular. It starts with apple pie, rock and roll, and baseball, America's dessert, music, and game, right? Not so much. Not so much. As far as participation goes, you're looking at football. Did you read this article? Anyone?
I skimmed over it. And it wasn't saying that if baseball started now that nobody would watch it?
I've said that before. Yeah, that was me. It says, from a pure participation standpoint, baseball isn't king nationally. This is the Sports Goods Manufacturers Association Director of Communications, Mike May. He said they've tracked statistics in 117 various sports and recreational activities. Tops as far as team participation, basketball, 26.3 million participants.
Wow.
Baseball is third with 14.6 million participants. Holding down second place, a surprise, volleyball. Fourth is outdoor soccer. What's interesting to me about this article is that they then continue to talk about why this is, why baseball isn't king, why basketball is up there, and they spend a lot of time talking about baseball. They never again
mention volleyball.
It's number two, and you don't talk about it. There are quotes in here from people about basketball. There's about Kansas basketball. There's all kinds of different information in here. Nobody called USAB.
That's amazing. A surprise.
To
volleyball.
Ask them about it. It's very surprising, but we're going to ignore it.
They don't even give us the number of participants. We just got to say it's between 26.3 and 14.6.
Right. We don't even know how many it is.
Who wrote this? Sarah Henning? Can we get her on the horn?
I just think she wanted to write an article about baseball. There's a picture of baseball, but it's not even in there.
Didn't you say at one point that baseball was not a sport?
No, baseball's a sport.
Yeah,
golf,
I mean,
not so much.
Asinine.
No,
are you sure? That's not what you said? I'm going to go through the archives.
Sure.
That's not, yeah,
here comes
you.
Geeter.
I wasn't
comes
here
Geeter,
that day.
Because I've hit him in his wheelhouse with his golf thing. Golf is not really a sport.
If
sorry.
You don't win the championship, you had a terrible season.
When I'm watching
the
TV,
same guy who said that.
And golf, some discussion about golf comes on, and they talk about how hard it is to walk 18. Shut your mouth. It is not hard to walk 18. Oh, he has to carry his bag. Oh, dear God. Carry a bag for 900 yards over 6 hours? Jeez, that's terrible.
What do you like? If you're not on some sort of dirt bike, you're not happy.
The look on Dieter's face right now is priceless.
I just, don't turn this around on me. Defend the fact that they call it so hard to walk 18 of a golf course. As a professional athlete, why is it hard to walk 18? I can see how, you know, my grandfather, who's 45 pounds overweight, never been on a Stairmaster, a bike in the last 30 years, I can see how he would have a hard time walking 18, and by 17, 18, he'd probably be so fatigued he'd be scudding the ball
first
into the
ball.
Trees.
Can you find
but if you
me
are a
quote,
finely tuned athlete.
Can you find me who said it's so hard? What's hard
every
about
time
the game?
It's on. Johnny, whatever his name
no,
is, the announcer.
Johnny Miller, no.
Every time. Oh,
stop
this is,
it.
It's so hard to walk 18 and play golf back to back to back.
Oh, my God.
It
listen,
is not hard to play golf.
They're talking about the skill that goes into it, the mentality that goes into it, the pressure that's on you. It's not about the actual walking.
Okay.
I mean, there's some hills and it's a long day and sure, there's a...
You might sprain
hot,
an ankle on the cart path.
No one's complaining about that. You've seen some of the guys with the
no,
girth that are out
there.
The no, Kevin, you're not listening.
No, you're right because you already hit my point.
Have you ever done it? Have you ever played that sport?
Absolutely.
Are you good at it?
No.
I knew it.
I can hit the ball forever in any direction you want. Just not the direction it's called for. No, look, you said it. You touched on it.
Yeah.
And this is my differentiation. It's not a sport. It's a skilled activity. Takes nothing away from how insanely hard it is to do. It is a skilled activity. It is not a sport. You do not have to be an athlete to hit a golf ball. Tell me you have to be an athlete to hit a golf ball. John Daly, not an athlete, good at nothing else.
How do you know that?
Look at him. You tell me he's good at basketball, volleyball?
How do you know he doesn't drain threes?
He can't play libero.
How do you know he doesn't have BC in the wind, Rosecrans?
No. John Daly does not have a good sky ball. You heard it here first.
You know what? I bet you looked at Jay Rashay and said, look at that guy. No way he doesn't. But you know what? He's got a nice little jumbo, and he's good on the hoops court. He plays good D, and he can shoot.
Before I pass
bet
judgment
you
on,
him,
on
yeah,
Jay Rashay.
Bet you looked at him, judgment because he paints his nails, bro.
I saw a picture of Jay Rashay in Volleyball Magazine scudding a ball into the water where they'd have to get it and get a towel
first
and wipe the thing off in Cabo.
The photo you saw was picture perfect. I just remember shooting that ball to the ocean.
If you're hitting a flat off the top of the hand,
that's,
but nobody
that's
was up.
What I was trying to do.
Uh-huh.
No, there was somebody
there
up.
Was no
block. Just blocking technique was tragic.
By the way, Lorenzo Romar crushed you in a dunk contest.
Oh, look at you with the inside info.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Don't worry about
look
that.
Look at the smile on
uh-huh.
your face right now.
Uh-huh. Romar smashed you in
do you
a
know
dunk
why?
Contest.
Do you know why?
From what I hear from everyone that was there.
He absolutely did. He absolutely
and
did.
You thought you were so awesome. You were going to beat this old coach in a dunk contest when you were in your prime at Pepperdine, people. And you know what? Romar gave you a smashing and ran out of the gym like Joe Namath with the number one in the air, and you cried like a baby.
I actually took my shirt off in the middle of it.
That's embarrassing. I heard about.
Somebody just said that John Daly would be a better libero than you.
Than me?
Yeah.
Well, no one has a clue. Maybe. I mean, he has two working legs. He's only got one.
You think Tiger's a bad athlete?
I don't know that Tiger could do anything else, especially now. He's got a bad knee, too. So he and I are in the same boat.
Wow.
I'm not saying there aren't athletes in it. It's like baseball. I'm not saying there aren't athletes in it.
What about the focus that needs to go into it in the pressure situations and the mental? That's not part
that's
of
not
being
athleticism.
An athlete. That's not part of
well,
being
right,
an athlete.
But it's not athleticism.
Playing
it's
a professional sport.
Not being
sport.
Born to be an athlete. It is a skilled activity. Oh, takes nothing away from how hard it is to do. Shooting, skilled activity. Not an athlete. You're not a shooting athlete. Matt,
I've seen athletes try to play golf and be tragic at it. So you have to learn. You got to learn it. You got to be. I mean, you got to be able to hit the ball. You got to have hand eye.
Listen, if I practiced at golf, I'd be decent.
Have a good swing.
If I did it, I'd be decent.
I mean,
I'm not a professional level, but
roll
out
there and anybody can just do it and be a hack. I mean, I'm confused at what you're saying.
I had a buddy one time tell me if he knew how to skate, he would be a great hockey player.
Dude, Romar
what does that mean? I mean,
no. Listen,
what does that mean? If I practice, I'd be good.
This is getting back to a great debate that went on because Golden Tate, wide receiver for the Seattle Seahawks, tweeted about Jimmy Johnson, NASCAR 5-time champion, that if you gave him 6 months, if you gave Golden Tate 6 months, he'd be as good as Jimmy Johnson.
In what?
In driving a NASCAR?
In driving a NASCAR.
Okay, that was dumb. That's dumb. That's saying something dumb.
Right, but that drives to the same point of people who are superior at something saying and having the belief in themselves, honest-to-goodness belief in themselves that they could do it, that same level of performance at another sport or activity. And I appreciate the confidence. This gets back to Jason
like
Ring, who gets
too.
Mentioned on this show. Jason Ring would say that to people at the training center. What are you guys, trampoline athletes? Yeah, I can do that. Give me 4 weeks, I'll dominate you. Said that in the cafeteria to a whole table full of trampoline people. Now, mind you, my opinion of trampoline is a discussion we can have later as far as a sport. But getting back to golf, it is not a sport. It is not hard from a physical standpoint. Yes, people wear out because Tiger swings that hard. Great, yes. But when I look at other sports, basketball, football.
Is libero hard?
Volleyball. It's harder
playing
than golf.
Playing libero hard? Just cruising, passing, covering some balls. What is that? Is that all you do?
See, it's harder than golf.
Okay.
Not to be great
on
at
a little
it.
Court with everyone else on there, too. You don't have to really cover much ground. Is that just – can anyone do it? Can John Daly be a libero?
No, John Daly cannot.
Why not?
Because he can't get his arms in front of his stomach. And he'd have to set his beer down on the side before he went on the court. He doesn't have a bag to put his beer in. No, it gets into a funny discussion. We've had this so many times. We've had this discussion about what is an athlete, what's a sport, what's athletic, all this stuff. And I think it's interesting fodder.
It is. It's fun.
And I take nothing away from how hard it is to do and the incredible level that these guys play golf at. The ability to put that little tiny ball in that little tiny cup is unreal. Like, I could never get that good at golf.
Little tiny cup.
Do you know who's a good athlete and looks really good doing it?
I think I know where you're going.
Jenny Kropp.
Yes.
Jenny Kropp looks good, and she's a great athlete. We go to break before we get her, or should we just go right into it?
Don't stop yourself.
Let's get right into it. Jay Rashay, give her some beats. I tell you what, this young lady's having a pretty nice summer, by the way. She won the Seaside Heights event in New Jersey on the Corona Light Wide Open Tour. And then yesterday, in the Boo, Malibu, California, the NVL, she took home another title with the partner Whitney Pavlik. She's fantastic, by the way, Barney. I don't know if you know her personally, like J-Ro and I do. But
she's an athlete.
She's a great athlete, good woman. She went to Nebraska, won a national championship when she was there, undefeated, came out here and just learned the game of beach volleyball. She was a rookie of the year on the tour a few years back. She is a rising star in our game and now in the club of open winners. So, Jenny Kropp, welcome.
Hi. Thank you. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
She's now in the club of athletes that have been on the Volleyball Network in that live.
Yes. By the way, a first-timer on the show. That was Kevin Barnett. You also have DJ Jay Roche, who was out there yesterday and said you played fantastic. What was it like for you and Whit to win that tournament?
You know, we've been putting in a lot of hard work, so it felt really good just to have it pay off. But I think, like, part of me wants the five teams that are over in Europe to come back so that we can really test our abilities, because it's different with the top five best teams that we have. They're gone. So we really want them there, too, because that would mean a lot more. But I don't want to take anything away from our win because it felt good.
You know, Jenny, that's interesting to hear you say that, because that's always the discussion in sports when one team is missing or a top couple of athletes are missing. No matter the sport, when somebody else wins, there's always that discussion about the dilution of the tournament, or does it really mean as much? I mean, obviously you cash the check, but even to you it sounds like you want to beat the best. You don't want to just take it when they're not there.
Right. Like, it feels good, and I like cashing the check, but, like, well, you know, I want to prove myself when the other teams are there, because I don't want to sit there and say, oh, we're number one, when that's not necessarily true. Like, it would mean more if it was all the teams were back and I would win.
Yeah, you know, Sean and John have shared that same sentiment, you know, that a tournament with
Hello?
We lose her?
No,
there you are.
There you are. There she is. That was a sad moment for all of us.
Not me.
But you're back. So I was just saying how Sean and John have shared that same sentiment, but I think in my opinion and in the opinion of others, a win's a win. You take it.
For sure. I agree, but there's still a part of me. I don't know. I can't get over it.
I like it. I like that. Now, how confident are you against those teams? Are you looking forward to them coming back or when that opportunity comes, getting a chance at them?
Yeah, because I think that me and Whitney have gotten a lot better, and we want to prove it to ourselves that we can beat those top teams, because I think we believe finally that we can. And I think when you first start out, you're unsure or you know you're going to lose to Jen in April, where I think now we're in a spot that we know we've put in the time and the work and we've gotten better, and I truly believe that we have a chance. And so I'm ready. I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be better when they're back. It's better for a sport, better for all of us, really.
Now, Jenny, talk about your partnership with Whitney, how it kind of came about. I know you've been through that partner carousel where you thought you were playing with someone, then they get picked up and all the frustrations that go along with that. What you finally found in Whitney?
Yeah, I mean, last year, or before the beginning of last year, I was playing for it, and we didn't make it to an actual tournament because we split up the week before, which was heartbreaking because, you know, we practiced for 3 months together and I really wanted to see. I thought we could be a great team, but she had a good opportunity and I understood why she needed to take it. And, you know, we're still good friends now, but me and Whitney, we started off rocky because when we started to play, she actually had mono. And so we had a terrible first tournament. The first 3 weeks were hard. But after that, like, we formed a partnership and a friendship, and we're great friends now more than anything, best friends. So it's, for us, it's just good to be able to go out there and support each other and know that she's not mad at me if I miss a ball or if she doesn't get a dig. I'm not mad. Like, I'm there to support her and she supports me. And it's just that kind of synergy you want with a partner that makes, I think, the games more fun and just being able to compete better and easier. And you're not playing tight or worried about, oh my gosh, my partner's mad at me. So now, I mean, we're just in a good place together.
That's so good. I love hearing that. Talk about your transition to the game, because I talked a lot about it this weekend as we switch gears here, about becoming you're an indoor player.
you know, play at a prestigious program and really didn't grow up playing beach volleyball. We're seeing it more and more. Sheila Shaw and Catherine Babcock, you know, beating Jenny and Annette and beating Crystal and Jess over there at the Cuervo tournament. Mm-hmm. What's it like transferring over to the beach? How much time, Jenny, does it take for you to really feel comfortable? Is that just happening now for you? I mean, I feel like you've been playing a long time now.
Yeah, I mean, this is my fifth year, and I feel like just this year, things are starting to click where I get it, because at first, it's tough, and it's humbling, because you go from being great indoor, and now you're terrible, and just that in its own, dealing with that was tough, because you're like, wow, I used to be good at this sport, now I'm the worst. So when you get past that, and you start to learn, and I had great teachers, and Nancy Mason, and Holly, and Barb Fontana, they were great for me to learn from, and I'm lucky that I got that, because I think it helped me to speed up my learning curve, to learn faster and learn how I wanted to compete, because those guys are real competitors. But it takes a lot of time, and I think it took Holly McPeak even 5 years before she won a tournament. So it's a big learning curve. And in Nebraska, we didn't grow up playing beach volleyball. So.
Yeah, Jenny, talk a little bit about the volleyball culture back in Nebraska. You guys don't grow up playing beach volleyball, but volleyball is such a huge part of junior athletics there. I mean, you go almost anywhere in the state and people idolize the players at Nebraska and the whole idea of playing volleyball for the home university.
Yeah, if you're growing up in Nebraska and you're thinking about playing in college, I think Nebraska is always your number one choice, and they recruit you really hard and get you to commit early. But there's a lot of prestige there, and the fans are great, and they know you, and it's almost like you almost feel famous there because you're just as big as the football team, and, you know, everybody knows your name and they talk to you when you're out and about. And it's just a different feeling, mostly because the state's so small and we don't have professional sports there. It just feels really good. And I've heard from a lot of other colleges that go to play us at Nebraska, because we're sold out. You can't even get season tickets for a few years. So unless somebody gives them up, you know, you just can't even get into a game. But it just feels good to know that those kind of fans are there and supporting you, and the other colleges come and they even like it and appreciate it, because the fans aren't rude. They don't boo you. They cheer for good plays. They know what they're doing. They're very knowledgeable. And so it makes it honestly the best place that I've ever played at, just as far as traveling around to different colleges and playing.
How difficult is it for you to go from a place like Nebraska where it is sold out, it's hugely popular, you're treated like a rock star athlete, and then you end up in the beach where it's a much more uncertain outlook. How do you square that as an athlete? Is that something you think about and wish that you could have more of the Nebraska feel all the time?
Yeah, at first I was like, wow, you know, nobody watches this sport. Nobody cares. And then I think that real beach volleyball players are people that love the sport, because you're only watching for yourself. You're not there to impress anyone, because likely nobody's really watching you. Especially if you're on the outer courts, or like, you know, this weekend there weren't a lot of people there other than family and friends. So I think that's always been a big challenge of beach volleyball, well, recently when I've came in. But I just think the athletes are there because they love it, really.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, Jenny, are you going to play the rest of the events? There's, you know, Corona events, there's NVL, there's Cuervo. Or are you just going to play whatever comes up on the weekends?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to play in everything we can, and we're actually really bummed out that USAV scheduled their tournaments at the same time as the NVL instead of creating more opportunities for us. But, I mean, there's nothing you can do, so we're just going to see what happens when the day comes and have to choose between tournaments and go where the money is, I guess.
Tell us about your website.
Oh, that's not updated, but I do have a website. It's jennycropp.com. I haven't updated it since last year when the AVP went out of business, but maybe I'll get on that this week.
You have some great photos on there.
Thanks. My husband took them. He bought a camera.
By the way, her husband's great, hobby. By the way. He is there in the front row with signs. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah, he likes to try to tell us what to do, like surf short, cut shot. Yeah.
Do you just kind of laugh?
Like, I don't need it. No, yeah. It makes me mad. I tell him not to talk, not to say things. Yeah, he's never played volleyball in his life. He's tragic. Terrible. But he thinks he knows.
What is he good at?
He's good at his job. I'm just kidding.
Loving me.
Actually, he is really good at his job. He works for Boston Scientific, and last year he was the number one sales rep in his whole company. So He is good at his job. He's good
so
at
there's
sales.
There's something.
What?
Jenny, we're saying so he's good at something, which is good.
Yeah. He's a good man, too. Just not at volleyball.
That's great. Well, Jenny, we appreciate you calling in. Congratulations. You got two wins this year, and so happy that you and Whitney have got that great chemistry, and you guys keep getting better and better.
Yeah, me too. Thanks, Geeter. I'll see you. Are you going to be in Chicago?
You will see me. I don't know if you're going to Seaside, but you'll see me in Hermosa, and then, of course, Manhattan. I won't be in Chicago.
Darn it. All right. Thanks for having me on.
You made me feel so good right there. That just pissed Barney off, and it made me so happy.
Thanks,
Jenny,
for coming on.
You make the tournament, Peter.
Thanks, Jenny. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
See you later. How about her? Speaks well.
Loves you.
Loves me, which is great. Didn't say much about Jeremy, which is awesome. No, but she's a good kid, man. Good player,
too. She needs to update the website. I think it's interesting she set her fire for the website. You know, she didn't say it, but the AVP dies, and her website doesn't get updated anymore.
She's a good player.
And she deserved the win this weekend. Let's not sell her short. I mean, I know she...
I don't think we were we?
No.
No, we weren't.
We weren't.
She was
selling her short.
Barney loved her honesty. I could tell he perked right up. But it's true. I mean, I love that she said that. Listen, I want to take a shot at those guys when they're here. You know, it means something, but...
Oh, you want to play the best, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm going to take that check right to the bank and cash it.
We've got a couple of callers. 310-372, you're on the air with Annette Live. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
That's Albert Hanneman.
Al B.
Hey, guys.
How we doing, buddy?
Owner of the NVL, just randomly calling in.
Getting a lot of NVL love out here, Al B, on the show.
I'm a fan of the show. I just was calling as a fan of the show, actually.
We had A-Rob on. We had Jenny on. And so happy for those two, Al B.
Oh, man, they played so well. Adam Roberts has worked really hard. It was a cool moment seeing him win.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jay Roche said, and even Adam was saying, when it was over, he's kind of looking around like, oh, my God, did this just happen?
Yeah, I gave the guy a hug after, and he was just shaky, and it was cool, you know. He was really excited, and Jenny and Whitney have trained so hard, too. So it was a great event overall.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, she just had a kind of a cool comment that she talked about because she's got a couple wins this year, and she was saying, you know, I want to play against Carrie and Misty and those guys, you know, kind of looking forward to them coming back. So I thought that was an honest, cool answer. But as I told her, win's a win, man. And when you're in that moment, as you said, and you're hugging A-Rob, who cares who's there?
Yeah, it was stacked, you know. But I think there was a lot of really, really good teams there. There was this kid, Kevin Tilley. Have you guys seen this kid play?
Oh, man, I've heard a lot about it. Did he play with Will Montgomery?
He did, and he might be more athletic than Rosie.
Let me tell you, Will is a good kid, and you know him, Albie. That's he's related to the Bowleys, you know, Kmart's.
Oh, really good kid, really good kid.
Yeah, so he's the future of the game there. That kid, the French kid, right?
Yeah, everybody thought that they'd win the tournament, and then they lost to Loomis, knocked him out. Loomis and Willie, just good volleyball though all the way around. I got to do a little announcing your style, Geet, on the live streaming video when Casey. With our boy Casey playing for Walshy, watching live in Poland, so I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, that's very cool. You know, and that's an important part about the game. You know, people can listen and watch from all over.
Yeah, it was great. You know, our DJ was okay. Everything else I thought was perfect.
Really? That's what's going to happen right now? That's how we're going to go with the show?
Jeremy was awesome. My boy Rick Delgado came in from Miami and was producing, and you know, we had a couple of photo shoots. We shot a calendar on Tuesday and Thursday, and actually Jenny and Whitney were in that, but Jeremy crushed it. It was awesome. We had good vibe there, a lot of people. You know, it was really fun.
Atta kids, you felt good about Malibu?
Yeah, man, it was actually a lot more people came than I thought. Saturday was packed, but you know, with 64 teams in the main draw, there was a lot of people that had gotten in their first main draw, and they brought their whole entourage, so you know, they were cheering and people were jumping and hugging each other after they won and rolling on the ground. And it was like they won the tournament when they won one match. But it was really cool to see these guys living their dreams out there.
What was the city like? What was their response? Did you get any feedback?
Yeah, you know, it was so crowded. They had a little issue with letting people in. It was taking people 45 minutes to get in there through the parking lot. So I wish that would have been a little bit better. So, you know, once people all got in there around noon, it started to flow nicely. But, you know, we worked on a lot of things and talked about what to do to make it better for next time. But overall, it was awesome. The city was great to us, and Scott Hubble was amazing. The guy got everything done. And, you know, overall, it was really we just needed the net live there. I don't know where they were this weekend, but it was a good event.
We were spread out.
Yeah, you really were.
Although Barnett was waiting.
I'm just sitting around.
Where was Barney?
Just by the phone.
And he's just waiting for a phone call, he said.
Yeah.
Hey, Albie, people are asking me about results and when they're going to be posted. Is BVB Info going to be involved? Will they be up on the NVL, you know, the brackets, that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Everything should be up live. We've been working with Dennis Wagner when he was over in Quebec, and he's been a huge help for us. So we've been, you know, either through Facebook or through BVB Info. It all should be posted. I know the stats are getting put in today. We also were keeping stats. So it was a lot to process, but definitely we're keeping everyone updated.
All right, buddy. Hey, Albie, thanks for calling in. We always appreciate you checking in with us on Mondays and letting us know how it went. And congratulations, man. It was your first home game.
Yeah, man. California, baby. We got one done in Cali and four left. Really excited and hope all works out with, you know, the rest of the nonsense going on out there. But like to have you out soon too, Geet.
I appreciate that, buddy. We love you.
Cool. Thanks, Albie.
Right,
thanks,
later. Yeah, thank you, guys. Thanks.
Oh, cut him off a little bit there.
I like that we're getting callers.
Yeah, it's good.
I got another one?
Yeah, we do. 262. That's Wisconsin.
That might be Todd Gronsky from Milwaukee.
Here you go.
Good morning, Geeter.
Good morning, Todd. How are you?
Hello, Barney. Well, my voice came back. That's good.
You're recovering after a whole lot of planning and a bunch of work, but boy, it looked good.
Oh, my God. It was it transcended everything we tried to work on. And actually, I just left the beach, and there's nothing there. It's all gone. So
it was amazing.
Talk about, just putting on that event with Cuervo and IMG and USAV, and from your end, how you thought it went.
3 weeks ago, I got a phone call from Dave Williams about hosting the event. And we've had a long track record with being able to work with Jose Cuervo and serving their products at the beach. So there's been a history. And they wanted to have it somewhere where it was turnkey. And since I have control of the beach as a partnership with Milwaukee County, they were able to come in and get this done quickly. But I will just say, any question on the future of Pearl Beach Volleyball was answered this weekend. IMG is an absolute first-class organization. I think USA Volleyball has a bright future in terms of offering events, and I don't think it's only going to be at this level. I think it's going to be down to the lower levels as well. And it was just an honor to be part of it, to host it, to work with Geeter again. It was great.
Barney wants to know, last year you cried one time. How many times did you get emotional this year?
Just before the women's final. We had one of our own at the final, so Geeter gets us all worked up.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, Sheila Shaw, who I think is going to call on the show a little bit too, and Catherine Babcock, local kids, really, that don't just learning the game, come in and beat Jenny and Annette and then beat Crystal and Jess. I know that was kind of big for your community. People really rallied around them.
That's even beyond what I would have ever imagined to have in a professional volleyball event. That was always my goal from day one at Bradford Beach, was to bring Pearl Beach Volleyball back. We did a little bit last year with the barefoot event, which was great.
Right.
But this was so much more than that. And to have one of our own actually win it, and she's an emerging talent, as Geeter saw. She has a very bright future. So I would assume you'll be hearing a lot about Sheila Shaw and Catherine Babcock in the very near future.
Todd, you've done a fantastic job. Congratulations to you and your staff. And, you know, I hope for years to come, Pro Beach Volleyball, you know, you guys deserve to have it. And you guys put on a great show, man.
Well, I appreciate it. I wish my voice was better. It all on the field.
Yes, you did. It's a good sign.
Don't let Geeter mess with your emotions. Don't let him be in control of your person. He'll use that for his own gain.
It's fantastic. The crowd loves it too. And believe me, there's an over under and was two. And you know, and as I said, he cried once. But I tried to get him emotional at the end. But You know, he kept it together, but he deserves it, man. It's a lot of passion he has, and it's a great community, honestly. And I said that at the top of the show. I mean, you really, I felt proud leaving there for everyone that was involved. It was a first class event.
Well, at least we're talking about events and not drama. So let's just play volleyball. Let IMG do their job. Let USA Volleyball do their job. I think the team's in place. Let's just let the players sort it out on the court. The business can take care of their end, and it'll be fine.
Amen, Brother Todd. Thanks for calling.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, Todd. Thanks, man. All right. Go rest that voice.
All right. Later on. Bye.
Albert Hanneman from the NVL and Todd Goronski from Bradford Beach, back-to-back. As I said, it's a big day for domestic beach volleyball yesterday.
This is your show right here. This is it. This
you
is all beach
you
all the time.
Miserable.
Is Kevin still here? I thought he was going to go get
another
Pop-Tart.
I was going to eat another Pop-Tart.
Kevin knows, though, that the highest rated shows in the history of this baby of his is usually involves a little beach volleyball. It's hard for him to.
Geeter, did you make a Karate Kid reference during the finals? Of the men's
probably
event.
Well, probably not the first time.
So, did that fall flat, or did people understand? Because I find increasingly, even like an Austin Powers joke falls flat.
Well, here's what I said.
Right, but a Karate Kid, we're talking.
I'm going to tell you right
ago,
now.
Like somebody mentioned Lady Hawk yesterday to me.
Nice.
Sometimes
that's way back. Rutger Hauer.
Oh yeah.
Matthew Broderick.
That was one of my favorite movies as a kid.
It was a great movie.
On occasion, you throw something out in the moment. I've never used that reference before, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It was actually a big hit, but what was happening was...
Get him a body
was,
bag.
Well, yeah, what was happening was it was getting late in the game. It was late in the day, and it's 12, 11, 13, 12, 14, 13, you know, it's going back and forth, and it would get quiet while they were serving, and guys would just be barking out stuff like, you got to put it away! Swing! You know, and I was just like, I just had mentioned that this event sounds like the final scene in Karate Kid with, you know, sweep the leg Johnny and get him a body bag, and then it just... So everyone laughed, and then from that point on in the game, it was get him a body bag, Johnny. You know, just every Karate Kid reference you could think of. And another guy stood up and was like, as soon as someone served, he'd be like, get in the hole. Another golf reference for you. And I think that's funny because every time you watch
Happy
golf
Gilmore.
On TV, even though Barney doesn't, a guy will tee off from 5:30 away and they'll be like, get in the hole. I mean, it never actually gets in the hole.
Ever.
So it's just amazing. It was a really funny line. So yes, the Karate Kid thing went over quite well.
So Geeter still has the touch, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
Sweeptheleg.com.
Yeah.
You got to go check out sweeptheleg.com.
Sweep the leg, Johnny. Sweep the
because
leg, Johnny.
There's a pretty funny video on there with some music, a lot of 80s references, and it actually has those guys in this video. So sweeptheleg.com. Go check that out if you're looking for some old Karate Kid references.
You want to get in some indoor stuff just to get you back involved?
Let me sit back.
Don't you
up.
Always say that you're interested in the state of beach volleyball and USA volleyball? I mean, this is... You know, I think this is right up your alley. A lot went on yesterday, bud.
Somebody's got to play the foil. Somebody has to play that role.
Yeah. Getting lit up on the Masters today, too, buddy. I'm a big fan of that.
It's okay with me.
I think...
I'm sticking to my golf opinion. What?
I think I pulled an ab muscle this weekend because I DJed for about 48 straight hours, and I was rocking out, and I literally think I pulled an ab muscle.
Did you get hurt on the job?
It's possible. I just moved a second, and it didn't feel that good.
Did you have to work at night as well like you usually do?
I DJed the NBL event all day Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Went home, showered, grabbed a slice of pizza, walked out the door to Sangria, dominated.
Now, did the NBL have a party there that night?
No, not okay. That night.
Gotcha.
Sunday, woke up at 0:30, drove back out to Malibu,
uh-huh.
Dominated the event again, went home, took a quick nap, went back to Sangria.
Jeez.
And then... DJed the NVL player party.
Did you
dominate there?
Oh, without a doubt.
Okay, just checking.
As long as you're dominating. But you have a lot of fire this morning. Like in that first segment, you were peppy and
involved.
You
should have seen him when he arrived.
It was
Louvage,
dark
luggage.
Glasses. Yeah,
oh, yeah. Louis Vuitton over there.
He was like, oh, thank God the studio's set up because I couldn't move that
couch. Because I didn't want to do anything.
Interesting.
Yeah, I actually texted Jeremy on Friday night because I was out at Mediterraneo in Hermosa Beach and said, hey, are you DJing at Sangria? Because he would have stopped by if he was, but no. So I went home. Ruin my whole night.
Thanks. Barney, any of your indoor friends calling in today?
They're all just flying back.
Oh, okay.
They're all just flying back from London where the men had a good test event, lost to Brazil in the finals. This was
just a test event, meant nothing.
No, it doesn't mean anything, but it's an opportunity for young players to play. They played against Serbia, they played against Great Britain, Egypt, and Brazil.
Will you explain the qualification process for our men and women? People were asking
right.
me this.
It's
this,
just getting
this,
underway.
This weekend. It's kind of confusing for a lot of people. I think they're just like, what do you mean they're not in? They want a gold and silver. People were talking about it this weekend. They were talking about indoor, which would have made you proud
now,
at Bradford Beach.
I haven't looked back, but somebody was telling me it used to be, or they thought it used to be, that the Olympic defending Olympic champion was in.
Not true, but
yeah,
I thought that
rumor
yeah,
was always
that
out there.
That rumor always out there.
As long as I've ever been involved, it has not been the case. So this test event didn't mean anything other than opportunity for young players to play. Evan Paddock playing a lot. Man Anderson logging more time on
gotcha.
The floor. Good stuff there. Reed Pretty was left back. That's why we mm-hmm. had him on the show last couple
Fantastic.
Weeks. Fantastic. But here's what's going to happen. The men now come into a training block, back in practice today, getting ready for, at the end of August, they're going to be in Puerto Rico.
This is a big time for them.
Right.
You're
now,
in the gym practicing and getting ready for the for go time.
Yeah, this is the Olympics, right? It's been
yeah.
3 years of kind of
yeah. figuring
or
that
two and a half
out.
Of
yeah.
just kind of getting ready, and now it's time to really do it. So they're going to go to this event in Puerto Rico at the end of August. This is a qualifying tournament for their zone, because there's five zones around mm-hmm. the world. The zone the United States is in is called NorSeca, North
yeah.
Central and Caribbean.
Yeah.
Includes Canada, Cuba, Mexico, Barbados, a bunch of other random nations you wouldn't know even played volleyball, right? So there are a lot of implications to this tournament, because you have to finish one or two at this tournament. You have to make the final to then qualify for World Cup, which will happen in Japan at the end of this year, around November.
Gotcha.
So if they finish 1-2 at this event...
Which they should?
They should, right. The only challenge will be Cuba.
Okay.
So it should be United States, Cuba in
so
the final.
So they can't slip up against someone and have to play Cuba to get to the final.
You don't want that.
Because they're going to be one in the two seed, for sure.
Should be.
Okay.
Right. Should be after the preliminary round
okay.
going into the probably final four team. I haven't looked at the qualification
okay.
or the brackets for that event.
So now you get to World Cup. Say they're 1-2 and they get to World Cup.
Okay. So they're 1-2. They go to World Cup. Now, World Cup is a 12-team tournament with a rather unique format. You play every team once, and that's it. There's no playoff. It's just your record against the record of the other teams. If you finish 1-3, you qualify for the Olympic Games. You're done. You're in.
1-3.
1, 2, and 3 are in the Olympic Games.
Out of the 12?
Out of the 12.
Okay.
So that's a big deal. And there's no playoff. There's no getting hot. You have to show up and you have to play well through this 2.5-week tournament.
That's not many teams qualifying at that event.
No, but here's how it works. There's
yeah.
only 12 teams in that tournament. The United States gets a little spoiled because we get so used to qualifying for every Olympic Games.
Yeah.
There are plenty of teams, especially out of the European zone, or if you look at like a Canada, that don't qualify.
For the Olympics.
Right. They never go to the Olympics, right? Canada, they don't get it done.
How many indoor teams make
No apologies to Cam Kerr at all, but we yeah. own Canada when it's qualifying time.
Yeah. And how many teams make the Olympic Games?
Indoor? 12.
On the women's side as well?
Yep. 12 teams. So here's how it breaks down. 3 from World Cup. The host, that's 4. The host is automatically in this case, Great Britain. So they're actually fielding a team. Volleyball not that big in Great Britain. That's 4. Leaves 8 spots. There are 5 zones around the world. In December, now there's been some discussion about moving this tournament, but typically has been in early January, late December, early January. There will be a zone tournament similar to the one that's going on
okay.
at the end of August
mm-hmm.
in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
You have to win that tournament in order to qualify. The United States in 99, or early 2000, January 2000, in Winnipeg, we defeated Canada in the finals.
To get in. If you would have lost, you'd have been out.
We would have been out.
Ooh,
Canada would
pressure.
Have been in. But you get another chance. I'll explain that in a second. But that's how you win through your zone. The United States in 2003 or early 2004 defeated Cuba in Puerto Rico in 5 sets. Incredible match to qualify for the Olympic Games. So now those 5 zone winners, NorSeca being one of them, will qualify for the Olympic Games.
Okay.
That's 9 teams. That leaves 3 spots available.
Gotcha.
Early in the summer, around June time, I have to look up the exact dates, around June or so, they'll have 3 tournaments that you get seeded into. You can only play in 1 of these tournaments. You must win the tournament to qualify for the Olympic Games, and now you're only qualifying a couple months out. So those are your ways in.
Yeah, BJ said it's in May.
In May. So it is in May for the men's in 2012. Yeah, BJ, if you could clarify that for us, is that the one that Is that the zone tournament? Is it the Norseca tournament? Because I've heard discussions about moving again, or they want to have it at May. Because what happens is if it's in January, the professional seasons get interrupted. You have to bring players back. You have to try and play it when you haven't been together. May, in my opinion, is a better date. It's just much, much closer to the Olympics, and for planning purposes is challenging for families, for teams, for
women, same kind of process?
Women, same, similar process, exactly. So that's
so they can go win the Grand Prix. The women can win the Grand Prix, and it doesn't guarantee them into the...
Doesn't mean anything.
Okay, gotcha.
Just like World League, doesn't mean anything.
Okay, gotcha, gotcha.
You win a lot of money. It's great. It's great. Fantastic to have that success. But as far as Olympic qualification, it's not relevant. Three from World Cup. The host, five. The host is one. Five from the zonal championships, and then three from these Olympic qualification tournaments. You can only play in one of those tournaments, too.
Yeah.
Years ago, I remember it being you get seeded in, play that one. If you didn't win, you get seeded into the next one, and so on and so forth. Now it's if you win one of those tournaments, you're in. So that's your 12 teams that will be appearing in London.
I tell you, he knows his stuff. That's why he perks up a little bit when we get in.
That's why we're a good team.
It's funny because I feel like I know the indoor stuff, but I don't. I mean, it's like when people ask me, it's a process that I've never really understood. So thank you for making that more clear, my friend.
Got a little note here that says head coach of Puerto Rico, Carlos Cardona, believes by moving the tournament to mid-May, he will give his team an opportunity to qualify because the Pro League in Puerto Rico wraps up in December and January, and his team will have 5 months to prepare while the rest of the players, particularly on the U.S. side, are all out grinding
in
professional tournaments.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that tournament moved to May. Thank you, BJ. So that's the story on the indoor side. Really, this is what everyone ramps up for. This is what the other 2.5-3 years is really geared towards, is this qualification process.
Sounds to me like August is crucial for our men's team, because talking to Reed on this show and listening to you on this show about time in the gym and all that stuff you need to become a great team, not a lot of time left in terms of years, just a few months, correct? I mean, really, if you break it down, it's less than a year. So this is a big month for them to start to gel and find that rhythm. You talked about the setting position and certain, you know, getting guys
huge
healthy and getting guys that lineup that you kind of roll with.
We're pretty. You promised me he'd be on the show today.
He's going to be in the starting lineup, Kent. Don't worry.
Kent, he's – come on. You know that, Kent.
Have they spoken yet? I mean, no. I know it's all kind of funny.
No, I've talked to Kent.
But...
I had like a 2-hour conversation with Kent about a whole bunch of different stuff. And I told Kent Steffes, I said, you know, we're having this discussion. He's bringing up names. I'm bringing up names, stuff that I know from board meetings, stuff I've heard from Sinjin or from somebody else sitting at a dinner discussion. I need a chart. I need a chart that has whoever's in charge of the AVP with the year, you know, something that I can follow. Whoever's in charge of USAV with the year, the relationship, the Article 8 filings, the Beach Volleyball Council, the
Solomon
Beach
days,
Council
to the
committee,
Harry Usher days, Berger, Leonard.
Oh, my God. Somebody organize it all. And Kent said he's going to do it. I want to see if he's actually going to follow through. I want to see this chart. Because it's maddening to try and figure out how all the different pieces fit together.
When's Nick coming back on the show?
Lewin?
Have we gotten anybody that is involved with the AVP to talk about this event in October?
First of all, I
Josh and Hans would be the guys to go to.
Yeah, I've heard one thing at least, that the city of Huntington Beach, forget who was telling me this, will not let you dig up sand berms like they have in their rendering.
Gotcha.
They will not let you put giant sand berms on the beach. It's just what I've heard. I don't know how true it is or isn't.
Gotcha.
I say, in my opinion, the AVP event, I'd be surprised if it happens. And that's no slight to Josh. And to Hans. I don't have any faith in Nick Loon whatsoever.
Well, it's not Josh and Hans's responsibility to make sure that event goes off. They're just involved, right?
I think they're involved, yeah. I don't know what the AVP is really up to. Anybody been to their website lately?
No.
No?
Maybe I can send Hans a text and see if maybe he can come on with the next a couple weeks because people were asking me that this last weekend as well.
Yeah, it's just
I mean, I've kind of laid off of it because, you know, he and I have talked and had a good conversation, but, you know, I knew at the time it wasn't the right time for them to come on, so.
He's very busy tweeting. He may not have time to come on.
Well, listen, they had their whole media thing. Like, they announced this thing, and then they went media dark. They didn't want to talk to us or anybody about what was going on. Their website looks great. They have some Questing for the Cup thing posted on June 24th, so, you know, back a ways. Their last article is July 20th from Universal Sports. Imagine that, Hans. He's been doing a little blogging for them.
Doing a lot of writing on about the FIVB and all that stuff. He wrote an article on the Wong coming home.
Yeah, there's stuff out there, but and they have standings listed, and so there's some interesting stuff going on there. Brooke Swett listed number one. Jenny Kropp, Whitney Pavlik listed number two. So I don't really know what they're going to do, if they're really going to be able to gain participation from the players or if that tournament's actually going to happen in Huntington. And what the whole AVP thing means. It depends on who you talk to as to whether they think the AVP name actually has value left in it.
We're going to find out soon.
Yeah, we will. Hey, Jeremy, let's take a quick break here. We're on the other side. We're going to wrap up the show with a discussion about paying athletes. I think there was an interesting article written by Michael Wilbon from Pardon the Interruption who talked about paying athletes and that it's really time to pay athletes. And I think largely we're talking about basketball, football, college athletes, correct. We're talking about basketball, football for the most part on the men's side. But this discussion, I think, could filter over into Nebraska, Jenny Kropp, Hawaii. Think about a couple of the places where this stuff makes money. Should you pay some of those athletes some cash? And if the precedent was set with football, should it apply to volleyball? If you want to chime in, 347-677-1525 is the number.
Josh still loves you.
We're going to have that discussion coming up next. Hey, it's nothing personal with Josh. I'd like to get Nick Lewin in a dark alley.
Sweet.
Can we get some music?
New Beastie Boys, Kevin. Just want you to know. Just sit back.
Thank you for telling me so I'm not embarrassed when I don't know.
Sit back and enjoy.
Do love me some Brass Monkey. The Net Live, right back.
Oh, hold on. I'm having technical issues. Go talk for a second.
Still talking.
Talk about yourself.
If you could talk in my ear, that would be nice. That's one of the
arts. Kevin,
are
you going to be a part of the Manhattan Six Man?
No, I'm not. I'm out this year. I may come down and watch, spectate. But I'll have to keep my drinking to shell back.
I'm back.
Thank you. You sure this isn't Japanese music?
100% positive.
Okay. Right back. In the Net Live on the volleyballnetwork.com. That's Beastie Boys?
It's Fancy Gold.
Wow, Beastie Boys. That's a little different sound for them.
A little reggae.
Hardcore rap.
A little reggae-ish.
Very nice.
I never would have said the Beastie Boys were hardcore rap, but that's just me.
Hey, big thanks to Volleyball Magazine for all their support of our show, and also want to put a big shout out there to AVCA, American Volleyball Coaches Association, all that they're doing for our show. Start hearing from them more often here, a little more integration going on with them. They've been a big supporter of our program with different initiatives that we have. College Volleyball Weekly coming back shortly. Women's season collegiately is just on the
other side. Cannot wait.
So, Gita, before we get to this discussion about
yes.
paying college athletes, we do have another caller.
We have a guest. She's from Wisconsin. She was a Badger, played at the University of Wisconsin, won a couple two-time All-American. She also played overseas, Barney, in German League and stuff, was an MVP.
Nice.
So great credentials as an indoor player, but just really started playing beach volleyball a couple months ago, and I got to watch her this weekend, and I was so impressed. She won the tournament in front of her hometown crowd with Catherine Babcock, and I was so impressed I wanted to have her on the show for a couple minutes. I know we don't have much time, but I want to introduce her to everybody because you're going to hear this name for a long time. It's Sheila Shaw. Sheila, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
How's
welcome
that? Yeah, welcome. You're with myself and DJ Jay Roche and Kevin Barnett. How does that big fat check of $12,000 feel today? Does it feel better?
That feels awesome. So amazing. And we're so excited. I still can't even believe that we just won that tournament.
You know, you finished fourth in pool play out of four teams on day number one. You come into day two, you got to play the best team, one of the best teams we've ever had in our sport, yeah. Jenny and Annette, and you guys beat them in two, and you go on and win the finals. What was it like playing against Jenny and Annette?
It was surreal, really, just standing across the net from them, looking at the legends of beach, and it was an incredible experience, and I'm so glad that we had the opportunity to play such great teams. It was a battle from the start, and we really knew that, you know, we have to beat them when it counts. So, yeah, we were upset, you know, that we took fourth and we were seeded fourth, but we knew that we had to beat them when it counted. So.
Now, you had a lot of success indoor. Did you ever think you'd be able to transfer that over the beach, or when did you start to make the transfer and realize, hey, I can be good at this?
Well, I've always, every time I came back from Europe, I played in a couple tournaments, but it was nothing like super serious. But this is the first season that I've actually been training every day and, you know, starting to understand and learn the game because it is so different. It's just smarter, not harder. And for me, that whole mentality change has been pretty difficult.
What's the most difficult thing transferring over from indoor to the beach?
You know, you just have all these different variables. You have the wind and the sun, the sand, all of these things that are working against you that make it so much more different. And on top of that, I was a middle. Like, I didn't have to pass. You know, I didn't have to worry about ball control all that much. So, I mean, in the beach game, it's all about ball control.
What do you plan on doing in terms of your training for beach volleyball for the future? Are you going to stay in the Midwest? Do you think you'll come out to the West Coast?
I would love to stay in the Midwest. I love it here. I love the four seasons and everything about it. And, I mean, my partner and I, Catherine, we are planning on just taking trips out to California to get good training in because there's awesome coaches out there and obviously great athletes that we can compete against that, you know, we don't really get a chance to compete against when we're in the Midwest.
Yeah. Are you gonna go back to indoor or are you done?
I am completely retired. yeah, definitely done with indoor. It hurts.
No more long bus rides across Germany?
Oh, my God. No.
Movies in German on the bus are fantastic, aren't they?
Yeah. We even took a bus ride all the way to Croatia. It was like 17 hours. It's brutal. I don't miss those bus trips.
That is brutal. Well, listen, I wanted everyone to know your name because I really feel like you can be a great player in this game. So thanks for taking the time and calling us, and congratulations. And you made a lot of people in your hometown proud yesterday.
Yeah, I know. My Facebook page is blowing up. It's been pretty awesome.
That's great.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me.
Did you buy yourself anything special? Or do you have plans to buy yourself anything special pulling down that paycheck?
You know, I'm actually in the process of wedding planning, so a big chunk of that check is going to go towards the wedding. So I'm really excited.
That's a huge help. Awesome. Thanks for coming.
All right.
Yeah, good job, Sheila. Thank you.
Thanks, Sheila.
Thanks. All right. Bye.
All right.
Good kid. Barney, your type of player. Long,
physical, got the tools, comes from that indoor game.
Power.
My theory, and I shared this theory, is great indoor players in the women's game, when they can transfer it over to the beach, they become stars. I mean, Crystal Morrison, I think, is going to be a great player. She was a NCAA Player of the Year. Geisen, All-American. That's why I think they're going to be great. You know, you look at all Kerry Walsh, Misty May, Elaine Youngs, Nicole Brenna. Those are Jen Kessie, April Roth. Those were great indoor players.
I think you heard Sheila mention it, though, that coming from the middle, it's so challenging because you
Jenny Kropp had to do the same thing.
In the women's game, you don't do anything.
Yeah.
Even more so than the international game where you're already not playing back row very often. Heck, you don't even serve most cases indoors. And that's going to be player-specific, but a lot of middles don't even serve. They have the libero comes in and serves for them.
Agree.
Jeremy, you look like you have a thought.
Yeah, what happened to you?
No, I do. I think sometimes, like, are we just getting too specialized in sports where it's like, you're a wide receiver, that's all I want you to do. You know, in volleyball, it's like, you're an outside hitter, just hit the ball.
Yeah, I don't have a big problem with the specialization. The problem I have is when you go to the national team, you can't do anything. You get these incomplete players that arrive.
Gotcha.
If the system is different. And I get it. Okay, the NCAA doesn't want to tailor its system of however many thousand athletes they have playing on scholarships. I mean, there's 10,000 scholarships in D1 alone, or in women's volleyball alone, out there each year. So you have a lot of players playing, and I get that participation, and they want to do this, and they don't want to tweak their thing for the Olympics, which is 18 players from the United States. The thing that they lack understanding on is that there are hundreds of players each year that go overseas and play, and it would help them. But again, you know, their business interests are a little bit different.
Well, let me ask you this. If you were a college program and you were paying your athletes, wouldn't you want them to know all the positions?
I don't know that paying them makes any difference. I mean, they're paying them now with scholarship money,
but
right?
But I mean, like, actually, like Michael Wilbon is saying, like, paying them. I'm going to want them to know as much as they can.
I don't think it changes the equation at all.
Gotcha.
Because you're paying them for the job that they're doing in college. So this is an article that was on ESPN.com under college sports. We'll get the link up there on the chat board for you to check out. Michael Wilbon wrote this article. It says, college athletes deserve to be paid. Now, Wilbon is one who has been on the other side of this issue for a long time and now finds himself moving over to, yes, these athletes should be paid. Previously, he didn't think so. And his second paragraph starts with why he did a 180. He said it's the $11 billion that the NCAA gets for the March Madness tournament alone. $10.8 billion television deal with a B, people.
And that's just TV money.
And that's only March Madness. Forget the $500 million that the BCS brings in. And forget now the Texas Network, Nebraska coming up. I'm sure there's a Pac-10 network in the offing. There's all this money out there flowing to the NCAA, flowing to the conferences in a river, in a tsunami swollen river of money.
Wow.
$11 billion.
He goes, what if you took the $1.3 billion and just made it $10 billion and you put that $1.3 billion and invested it and then distributed it, you know, would that be any different? I mean, 10 to 11.3, I mean, you're talking billions of dollars.
Billions. Not millions, not hundreds of millions, billions of dollars. And the NCAA is a professional organization that wants to keep the cost of labor as low as possible.
Of course.
Right? They have a product that they produce. College basketball, college football. They want to keep the cost of that product as low as possible so they can have more profit, so they can build more buildings, so they can pay people more money. It's not about education. And I'm tired of the NCAA pleading education. It's not about education. It is about money. It is about making money. And this is a professional league in the same way that the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball are professional leagues. The NCAA is a professional league. In football and basketball.
Absolutely.
Especially basketball. If it was about education, then you wouldn't recruit kids who are only going to be there for 1 year.
And you wouldn't have a tournament that goes on for a month and a half and people have to travel an incredible distance and be gone constantly. There's no way those kids are in class at all during March Madness. You're telling me the guys from Duke
only
are
the
in
guys
class
from Butler.
During the week?
The guys from Butler were the
national
champions.
No doubt.
They're the only guys.
Nobody else is. It's a joke. It's a joke.
You know, I think for like a sport like women's volleyball, lacrosse, you know, they go there. It's a great thing that you get a full scholarship and go. And a lot of those girls that I coach, that they're about the academics. And it is about, I think, getting that education and playing your sport. But when you talk of football, basketball, you're naive to think that that's the same as playing lacrosse and volleyball and every other sport. It's different. It's a business.
Well, in that
that's
article,
why they're there.
In that article, too, Wilbon was saying, yes, you're only paying the athletes that are bringing money into the school. You're not paying the field hockey team. You're not paying the water polo team.
So that means for Nebraska, you're paying the volleyball players.
Yep.
The women's volleyball team is getting paid in Nebraska. They're maybe getting paid in Hawaii, men's and women's, depending upon the year. They might get paid there, too.
I still think it would add more corruption in sports, college sports.
There's already a bunch of corruption.
I agree.
Yeah, I believe me, the corruption's going to be there.
They pretend whatever, like
whatever
the corruption
side of the fence
isn't
you're on.
There. Yeah, and they go, oh, this scandal, that scandal, all this preemptive stuff, baloney.
All the stuff that USC got in trouble for, every other school is doing the same exact
100%.
Thing.
Absolutely. It's happening out there. Well, now, the thing that gets me about the individuals, it's touched on here a little bit with Andrew Luck from Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it if you go to the Texas stores in Austin. I go in, every jersey is a 12. Everybody knows who 12 was.
Yeah.
Colt McCoy.
Yep.
Or it's an 8, Shipley.
Yeah.
Everybody who buys a Stanford jersey and it's a 12, they're buying it because it's an Andrew Luck jersey.
Yeah.
They're not buying it because it's Stanford. They love the players. The player is a brand. But that brand is being stripped of all its value by the university. Stripped mined. Of all its value by the university. Now, the university will tell you, oh, we give them a platform to be this and that. Sorry, even the $50,000 that Stanford costs per year is not enough compensation for the thousands and thousands of jerseys and merchandise that moves off those shelves because Andrew Luck is who he is.
And let's just be clear, there's some questions on the message board that Wilbon was saying that it's not the colleges paying these kids, it's the TV money. It's not coming out of anybody else's pocket, like the school. It's not adding to their scholarship.
Yeah, he was saying take the money.
Take the money
from the TV.
Yeah.
Well, then somebody else brings up a good point. What about the equal pay for women? You know what? Sorry. I'm sorry. You don't bring in money. Your women's basketball program, nobody cares. The reason it's on, the Final Four is on television, on ESPN, is because men's basketball is on there. That's the only reason. You're actually less popular than women's volleyball. The only reason you have a WNBA, the only reason you have ESPN coverage of your sport is because the men's carries you. Because it behooves the men and it benefits NBC and the NBA and everybody else who's doing this product on the men's side. It benefits them PR-wise to say, we also support women's basketball. That's the only reason. Otherwise, you'd be even behind volleyball as far as participation and fans. You're benefiting from use of a marketing machine that is not yours.
Issues would arise with the level of pay and who gets paid. Obviously, Andrew Luck would get paid more than the guard. And Wilbon saying, yeah, he does get paid more.
And you know what? He does actually get paid more. Just throw that out there right now.
You know, I think that would create some interesting, you know, obviously there's, you know.
Do you think it's going to happen someday?
I don't.
I mean, it's a hot topic right now. I'm talking about it a lot.
I don't.
I think the money's just getting too big.
That they're going to have to.
It wasn't as big of an issue when the NCAA wasn't rolling in cash. I mean, that's the issue here is they are profiting wildly from these kids. And from a lot of these kids, when you talk about football, who are risking their health for the rest of their lives.
And by the way, football's getting out of hand in terms of like LSU, Oregon, Ohio State, and who gets punished more and you know, why does SC get a 2-year ban and Ohio State's pretty much not getting, you know, I mean, it's amazing who's making these decisions and why and what's the precedent.
Well, and who gets punished.
Yeah, and who gets punished.
The
and,
coaches never get punished.
You're not taking Terrell Pryor out of that Sugar Bowl last year, that's for sure.
Yeah, and do you, in your mind, did Reggie Bush not win the Heisman?
Nope,
of course he did.
Yeah, of course.
Of course he won
SC won the championship.
Yeah, who cares what his parents are doing 135 miles away in San Diego? I mean,
It is absolutely an empty gesture to take away those things because it doesn't matter. And there's no penalty in it for the coaches. The only penalty is for the players that signed afterwards who then are at the university when the penalty comes down.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the only people who get penalized. And that makes no sense at all.
I loved a theory that I heard about. If an agent got caught, the X amount of money that he's got to pay, and I'd heard a great thing about players when they sign their scholarships, you know, if they're in the pros and it comes out that they, whatever the case, you know, like a Reggie Bush, you're going to owe X amount of dollars.
What about
– this person's got to write a check, or this person's got to – yeah, they suffer in the eyes of the public and all that, but let's be honest. I mean,
Reggie
them
Bush
in their pocketbook is
Bush
where it
care.
Really hurts.
Yeah.
Well, forget the individual player even. Talk about the bigger money. Talk about the university having to pay back the cash they got for the bowl payout.
Yeah.
How about if you had to pay that back rather than just saying, oh, you didn't win? Big deal. We got the money. Who cares? Take the banner down. So what?
And you did win. Yeah, but we still won. I don't care what anybody says.
The public says we won, and we get to keep the money. So there's no penalty in there. And then what's worse is for these coaches, most of them who have a penalty are now somewhere else.
Dude, Matt Barkley was in like ninth grade. I was doing his games, and he's getting completely punished for something Reggie did. You know what I mean? When that was going on, Barkley was literally eighth grade, ninth grade.
Right.
So
you got to suspend these coaches.
Yeah, it's
and take away their guaranteed
contract
money.
I'm telling you, it's getting worse. And big-time programs are right there on the cusp of getting in some big-time trouble. When that happens, you know.
Well, when everybody else is doing it,
you have to compete. It's not even a question. You can't stop boosters. You can't stop certain things. You can't monitor everybody in the school. I mean, you know, that plays athletics. Wilbon also talks about, you know, then if you're not going to pay, then what about kids – you know, doing their own entrepreneurial stuff, you know, whether it's, you know, if you want to sell a jersey.
Right.
Or, you know, when I played volleyball, I mean, let's be honest, but I don't know about you guys, but there were ways that we found out to make money. I mean, you know, whether it was doing this or doing that, because you had to support yourself. It's not like we were getting a lot of money. And, you know, it happens at every level, you know.
But you can't work. If you have a scholarship, you're not allowed to work.
Yeah, but what does the scholarship money cover? I didn't get a scholarship, so I don't know.
Books? Well, it depends. If you're getting a full scholarship, you're getting books, tuition, room and board.
See, I had a half because in men's volleyball you don't get fulls, so I worked.
But like, how do you pay for like groceries and things like just the little things?
Well, that's
like
the
going
point.
Out.
That's the point. Is you don't have money for that.
Gotcha.
That's exactly the point. There's these guys are multi-million-dollar brands who don't have $200 in their pocket.
And
that's why they take the money.
And you're going to school. You're taking full credit.
And when you get a handshake, Jeremy, for $200 or $100, and you're a phenomenal athlete, and you want to take your girl out to dinner or go do something, guess what? You're taking it. And I would, too. And those people who say that they wouldn't or shouldn't, then they didn't play. You didn't play at that level. I'm telling you right now, it's just part of it. Whether it's right or wrong, it's part of the culture. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's part of the culture. And I'd take it, too.
I had friends.
Guy gives me $100, I'm gone.
In the meantime, the NCAA owns their own building, has Ruth Chris catering every event they have. I mean, not actually, but literally, has the money to do that. I mean, they have ungodly money. Billions. And yet, this kid doesn't have a couple $100, even though the NCAA brand is built on that kid.
And you cannot get a job. You're working, you're going to school full time, you're practicing all the time, obviously in your season. So there's no... How do you?
If you have a full scholarship, you actually can't have a job.
How hard is it, though, for a school or, say, the coaching staff, let's take a sport of football when there's 100 guys, to monitor what that guy on your team's girlfriend is driving because she got it? You know, I mean, it's really tough to monitor.
But when Reggie Bush rolls up in a brand-new car with Dubs and he's on the cover of Dub magazine,
you're
going to know that.
Yeah, everybody
knows. Just throwing that out there.
You know, Baron Davis and what he drove when he's at Crossroads and going on to UCLA. I mean, it was a fact.
Deion Sanders was taking a limo to football games. A limousine.
Listen, I played at Pepperdine. Our basketball team was okay at the time, was on the rise, actually had some success in the next couple of years. But they were pouring money into the basketball team. It was odd to me, even at a place like Pepperdine, that these guys were from poor economic circumstances, but yet drive Tahoes with rims, with the sound system you could hear from halfway across campus. And there's nothing weird about that. And we're driving like 84 Subarus.
I can see you in a Subaru right now. You could barely get in that thing.
It was blue. It was an 84 GL. Really nice car. Not flashy, but it ran every time I turned the key.
Test in the Malibu.
Tape deck.
I did not have a radio for a year and a half because it didn't work. Turns out all I had to do was clean the corrosion off the battery terminal, and that would make it work. But try not having a radio when you're commuting.
Oh, I wouldn't show up here.
Yeah, and this is pre-iPod, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, it was tough. Anyway, I think that this is something that's going to continue to gain traction because the NCAA is continuing to gain more and more money, and there's just no way that you can continue to use the brands of these athletes and build an empire on it. I mean, they have it does a disservice. I've done it before on the show, but you build an empire on labor you don't pay for. What is that called? I mean, they're either conscripts or slaves. Figure it out. Irish conscripts, you know. The dead cost nothing. Send the Irish.
Real Sports did a thing on the college athletes that are in video games.
Right.
That the video, it looks, you know who that player is.
Oh, you bet you do.
Looks, number.
They're like, but their name's not on the jersey, so it's not him.
Yeah.
Well, Ed O'Bannon has a lawsuit that has yet to be resolved with a bunch of other athletes to that exact problem. And, yeah, because the NCAA is, again, making $1 billion off of video games. I think the number is in this article as well, talking about the relationship with EA Sports. So check it out, read it, send us a note, thenetlive@gmail.com.
That was a good conversation.
I think it's one worth having. I think as far as volleyball goes, you'd only have a couple of places where it would matter, but it would matter. I think you look at Nebraska, they're making money on that program. That program is doing very well. You'd like to have more that are doing that well, but there are a couple that you would have volleyball athletes in that conversation. It's disappointing to me the way the NCAA behaves, slapping everyone on the wrist for this or that. In the meantime, they got their hand out on the other side. I mean,
that's what drives people crazy.
Yeah.
And the social media, you know, you read it on Twitter, you read it on ESPN.com. It drives people insane. I mean, you're not going to understand it. You can try to go back and forth, and you know, the BCS is one thing that baffles people. Great article, Sports Illustrated last year, about the BCS and the money and how they're never going to change college football because of what they're making. But it makes there's no rhyme or reason. You know, it's been wrong many times. They've gotten it right a couple times.
There's one more point out here on the chat board talking about other students who don't have time to get a job or work or anything else. But there's nothing that prevents those students from taking benefits from somebody else, related to the medical industry if you're a pre-med major, related to any other industry. If you are an actor and you are in a drama program, you are in a drama scholarship to a school, there is nothing that says you cannot go and act in a professional film and get paid and then come back to our university on scholarship and be a part of our university. There's nothing to prevent that.
You can't play in the NVL and collect the money if you play at UCI.
Even if you play
I know.
You are opening up yourself to a raft of problems. Kent Steffes, stripped of his.
Yep. Matt Unger lost a semester when I was at Northridge because he collected something at a tournament.
Yeah, beach chair.
He played in a pro tournament. They gave him something.
Barely even a pro tournament. Yeah, it wasn't even an AVP tournament, but he won and took some stuff and lost the semester.
I'm trying to think of the name of the athlete. Jeremy is his first name.
Jeremy Bloom.
Jeremy Bloom from
this
University of Colorado
was
absurd.
He fought it for years.
He was a kick returner for the Buffaloes, good one.
Yeah,
he was also a world-class Olympic mogul skier.
One of the best.
One of the best. Went to the Olympics. He wanted to accept money for his skiing prowess from Volcom and other skiing companies to fund his training for the Olympics, while also remaining on the football team and in school to play football and be a kick returner. I knew Jeremy. He was at the training center. Talked to him quite a bit about it during this whole process. The NCAA ruled that he was not allowed to accept sponsorship money for his skiing and still be able to be a football player. This is something that made PTI and Around the Horn,
shows.
It was the perfect example of the way, the duplicitous nature in which the NCAA behaves and the way that they treat their athletes and view their athletes. They don't want anyone getting benefits for anything if you are an athlete in the NCAA system, even if it is something completely external to what the university offers or what you are on scholarship for at the university.
And every one of his peers that he competed against in skiing was getting the sponsorships, getting the training, and that's what he needed to compete at that level.
Right.
And was unable to get it because he returned kicks and caught a couple passes.
And he went to the Olympics,
mm-hmm.
did okay. I don't think he medaled, as I remember. And then he tried out with the Philadelphia Eagles, tried to make the NFL, did not make the NFL. Don't know where Jeremy is today, but an extremely bad situation, in my opinion, and an example of what the NCAA is doing all wrong. And that's only 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
Now they get $11 billion.
Billion.
Billion. Well, boys.
Vacation.
I want to put big thanks out there to AVCA, to USAV, to the Volleyball Magazine. The Volleyball Magazine.
The
Volleyball Magazine. For all the sport here, we've got lots of good features and stuff planned for you. Mike Ebert coming up next week. Hopefully Stacy Sikora coming up next week. Geeter's going to go on vacation. I'm going to get reacquainted with my kids since they're back from summer camp. And Jeremy.
I'm going to go sleep for the rest of the day.
Keep those DJ hours. I like when you send me an email at 2 in the morning.
That's right.
You know, this is a man living the life. Hey, if you want to drop us a line during the week, thenetlive@gmail.com. Send us a line. Or the Facebook, facebook.com/thenetlive.
NetLive t-shirts, too.
NetLive t-shirts. Get those going. ValaClothing.com. You can click on that, or you can click over from our Facebook page and check those out. Remember, this is a donation to the show to keep this show going. Just like NPR, the show that you love, the NetLive, this will help keep the show going, help us improve, help us get out to events like we've talked about,
yep,
and be a greater part of the volleyball community. And because of your willingness to donate and support our show, we will send you a premium quality Hurley tee in the size and color of your choice. We have gray and blue, and they are both fantastic.
They are legit, too. I don't wear clothes that aren't legit, and I rock them all weekend long.
I did, too. I may have to do laundry today just so I can wear it
again. I came home last night, and Nicole was wearing hers.
Very nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. Nicole has one, and Geeter doesn't.
Geeter doesn't.
Jess doesn't have one either.
I asked for both of your sizes. I blame you.
I know. I told you before, we need to try some on.
They're wanting the link for the tees. Throw that up there on the chat board, if you would, Jeremy.
Will do.
And spin up some tunes, because Geeter's got to get out to the Terranea Resort. The Palos Verdes.
Can't wait, buddy. Can't wait, bud.
You got to treat your wife right. You got two kids. You guys are busy. You've been away a lot. She better get massages while you're wrangling the little guys.
She's getting a facial and a massage. Millie's going to be dominating the pool. And Luca will be chilling, smiling. She likes to do it. 4 months old.
Love it. I'm Kevin.
Let's go drop some cash.
He's Chris. The other guy is Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hi, guy.
We appreciate you being here. The Net Live on thevolleyballnetwork.com. We will see you again next Monday with Mike Ebert and more great volleyball talk.